InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Between the time when the censors drank the voices of the free and the rise of the unyielding truth-seekers, there was an age undreamed of. And unto this, Alex Jones, destined to bear the crown of revelation upon a vigilant brow, fighting the shadows of tyranny. It is I, his chronicler, who alone can tell thee of his saga. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
The story you're about to see is true. All of it is verifiable and documented. This is reality. Truth is stranger than fiction.
We know the government's planning terrorism. We know the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to blow up airliners. If you do it, we're going to blame you because we know who's up to it. Or if you let some terrorist group do it, like the World Trade Center, we know who to blame. If any terrorism comes, it's from this government. And if there was an outside threat like a Bin Laden, who was a known CIA asset in the 80s, he's the boogeyman they need in this Orwellian phony system.
Long live the Constitution and death to the New World Order.
Death! To the New World Order. Get the idea of losing our sovereignty. We don't like this flag, and we're sick and tired of it.
The revolution of peaceful information is coming, and when it comes time, you people are going to be brought to punishment.
Don't you stand for America, sir? What about the Federal Reserve and the CFR? You people are being lied to. This country's been taken over by Europe. And I'm being drug out. Laugh at it.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me?
I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
If you want them, come and take them.
Your reputation's amazing. I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
InfoWars just lost their war on info. Yesterday, Apple,
iTunes, Vimeo, and Spotify,
and YouTube, Twitter,
and Facebook
have all blocked Alex Jones and InfoWars.
Google is evil.
Alex Jones, he was subpoenaed by the bipartisan House committee investigating the insurrection.
1776! 1776!
Alex Jones must sell off nearly all of his personal assets.
Jones owes $1.5 billion.
InfoWars is shutting down.
They may shut him down, but they won't shut him up.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
Nick Fuentes is on in the third and fourth hour, and that should be an interesting discussion with all the crazy world events, and I actually disagree with him on some of his recent statements, so there will be some debate in that. Obviously, massive news on every front, totally insane. The president set to address the nation at 8 p.m. Central tonight. I'll be up here covering it live with Steve Bannon. We're going to join all the stations that carry us. The real official transmission starts in 60 seconds. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's out there. So share the live feed on X at Real Alex Jones and the Alex Jones channel on Rumble. Thank you so much. We'll be right back, my Paul Revere's. challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to thealexjonesshow.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Takes one to know one. I know how you feel. You've got your hunger and some problems that are real. And you're dealing with some demons who are driving you insane. And I've seen them drag you screaming down the hallways of your brain. You got loaded again. Ain't you handsome when you're high? Nothing matters. Chase that feeling till you die.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, December 17th, 2025. Coming to you from the embattled studios in Austin, Texas. And every day, things just get completely more insane. And we have Nick Fuentes joining us at 1 p.m. Central for 2 hours. I'm going to try to get Kyle Serafin on as well. 2 weeks ago, he said that he believed on this show that FBI Director, Deputy Director Rongino would be gone by Christmas. And then he exclusively broke yesterday that his office is cleaned out and the staff is gone, that he's already gone. That hit the New York Times today. He called me yesterday after the show and said, hey, well, let's break this tomorrow. And I said, why not now? Because he knew it was going to break tomorrow. And he said, well, he might not quit tomorrow because he dislikes Serafin so much. Just to make me look bad. I said, he's not going to do that. And look, the real story is, why did Bongino leave? And it's because he was pissed off over the handling of the Epstein situation. Leaked Epstein file talking points instruct Republicans on how to point blame away from Trump. But then you read it, it's because Trump's not doing anything wrong in any of it. As you've seen, oh, all these files, oh, 90 plus thousand from the Epstein estate. Oh, and all the grand jury stuff Trump wants released and the Democrats try to block it. People keep saying, give us the list. There's not some holy grail. There's 35 years of stuff and 20 years of criminal stuff and civil stuff. So there's always more, because as the cases go on, the civil lawsuits and all of it, it just keeps generating more. It's like a black hole. And that's why Trump wanted the case shut down. And that's what Roger Stone told me when he was president-elect. He said the CIA and others know it's Mossad, MI6, the royal family, and the CIA. And they've told Trump, you're never going to get any of it anyways. It's all been, the real stuff's been destroyed. And so Trump goes, all right, well, screw it then. Let's move on. And I said, do not do that. It's a setup. And I was 100% right. You remember back when all this stuff started like 8-9 months ago, and I said, that's not Bongino and Patel getting up there on Fox News, like during the headlights, looking like they were hostages, their eyes all wide. Oh no, Epstein killed himself and acted alone and wasn't a predator. And they've been ordered to do that. And I said, it's Trump. People said, you're a traitor. It's not Trump. You're trying to undermine him. And I said, no, it's Trump. And 2 days later, it came out it was Trump. And And you heard Trump say, if you're my supporter and you believe in this hoax, well, then you're not my supporter. Go away. So he sent Roger up there to explain, sir, you mean you exposed Epstein. You kicked him out of the club. Epstein told reporters years ago that you're the guy that dropped the dime on him. You need to explain. Epstein's a bad guy, as you've said many times before in countless interviews, but that targeting you is a hoax, the new Russia hoax targeting you. And Trump came out and gave press conferences and explained that, and his poll numbers went back up a little. But then he just goes back and does it again because he's right. It is a black hole, but you've got to navigate the black hole correctly. So he's set to address the nation tonight at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and people are speculating on what he's going to say because it hasn't leaked what he's going to say. I can tell you what he's going to do. It's going to be a lot. He's talking about the accomplishments, the country, how we're turning the economy around, affordability, and what he inherited. And then there's a good chance he's going to, you know, escalate the situation, which he's already done in Venezuela with the total blockade of their oil tankers. But it needs to not just be a bunch of the cheerleading he does where he goes, oh, we got $19 trillion in investment coming and, you know, $5 trillion or whatever already here and we're building all these factories. Yes, that's good. But you need to explain to people not just how great it is, and this is the best economy and we fixed inflation, because that's not true. We're pulling out of it. All the right things are being done. But people don't like being told something they know is not true. The economy is in bad shape for a whole lot of different reasons. We never recovered from the COVID lockdowns, where anybody in business will tell you they can't even get people to come take the jobs. Most of the federal buildings are still half empty. The workers don't even work. Making people, you know, or paying people to sit home for a year and longer in other parts of the world really broke the back of the economy, which is what the Great Reset was meant to do. It was designed to sabotage the industrial civilization. You spin up a society, you spin up a complex system, you want to keep that engine running. Unlike a regular engine, you don't want to run for 20 hours straight. It's bad for them. With an economy and big complex systems, you got to keep them humming and keep them growing and keep them going. Because a lot of competent people over the centuries and centuries and centuries built us industrially to this level. And it is so complex now. So we're going to be getting to all of that and what's happening in the economy. Brianna Morello, the awesome reporter, journalist, and host of the American Journal this morning, I called her up about 7:30 and I said, hey, will you look into this big story? And so her and Matt and some of the crew called Brown University, sent them messages, and said, why did you scrub this individual off of your faculty list and just erase that he was ever there? Of the head of the Islamic Studies Department. And they said, oh, because we were afraid he was going to be doxxed. So day one, they thought he would be doxxed because he's a Muslim. Now, when I saw this individual and noticed this a few days ago when this got picked up, and I looked at the surveillance footage they'd given us, and they didn't want to give us the higher quality inside, but then I blew it up and looked at the face and the neck and the way he walks, because he's been at Palestinian demonstrations and all of it. I don't need to be a NSA gate program to tell you, boy, that person sure walks like the person in the surveillance videos, but I'm not saying it's him. I was going to wait. But boy, they don't have a reward out. They didn't want to put out a description. They've been very slow on everything. Will you give us a description? Oh, we'll put it on the website later. They all look like they're totally freaked out and scared. And then Officer Brandon Tatum, who is a very smart individual and police officer, when he was a police officer, he was promoted very quickly, into administration and the press arm, so he understands how all these things work. He pointed out what all of us that just have, you know, studied these cases in the past, normally the police are giving you a whole bunch of information, you need your help. The faculty and the police chief look scared to death. So I'm not saying this individual is the person. I'm simply showing you what Brandon Tatum put out and some other people. And that was the headline. And so I'm going to be getting to this later in the hour. Now, I know there's a cover-up going on, as I've said the last few days, from the body language, the behavior, everything that's going on. I don't know if it's a cover-up of this guy. It could be that there's a pudgy guy that walks exactly the same and walks with his hands behind his back that, you know, went and did this, and it could be a white guy or whatever. He does have very, very pale skin, the same cheeks that are pudging out around the mask, the same pot belly, the same penchant for baggy black clothing, but that's probably all just a coincidence. There was also another Islamic stabbing in Washington State where they lured the police there with a 911 call, and then stabbed the officer in the neck and in the back and tried to kill him. That was suppressed for the last few weeks, but now with his arraignment, it came out, his name and what he was doing, and that he was in conducting jihad. So that's just another example of how that's just a local newspaper thing you'll never hear about on the national news because they make sure you know. And there's a whole bunch more. People at Christmas events all over the country. It's been like 5 attacks I've seen. You come out of church, you walk out to the park by some lights at the front of the church, and a Muslim runs over and dumps acid on your face. We've also got shocking footage of Muslims by the tens of thousands surrounding Melbourne Cathedral and chanting and waving their Islamic flags. Because under Islam, that church is going to get destroyed. Now, occasionally they decide to turn it into a mosque, like the Constantinople big cathedral. It's now the Blue Mosque. But again, here's the Brandon Tatum headline. Suspect identified in Brown University shooting as school deletes pro-Palestinian student off website. That's a pretty bold headline. I'm not saying that's accurate. It could be that whoever the shooter is just walks and has the same body and the same pudgy face and the same super light skin. There's a chance that's not the case. But when we reached out to them, and again, I'm going to recap this in more detail because I wasn't really ready to go to it. I noticed I'm not mad. We kind of free for all here. The crew thought I was going to because they were already putting it all up. I was going to go to it later. Because I've got more I'm collating here. We sent them this message this morning. As you may know, rumors are swirling online about the enrolled student that recently had his page removed from the Brown University website. Additionally, witnesses have stated in video conferences and online that Allah Akbar was screamed. But the police, by the way, asked them not to tell the public because it's part of the investigation. Oh, if you're covering it up. Was shouted out moments before the shooting occurred. Is this person a potential suspect of the shooting? Why was his profile removed from your website? Is this person still attending classes? Is there any merit to the claims that Allah Akbar was shouted by the shooter or at the time of the shooting? Now, I haven't gotten to the big enchiladas on this and the video and the audio and all of it and what Brandon Tatum said and what others are saying. I'm going to do that at the bottom of the hour, so just in about 12, 13 minutes. So I'm going to table that now. And then I'm going to just tell you some of the other things that are coming up. And then I'm going to jump in to the situation at the White House that is critical. And again, I'm not mad at this guy. I like him. Everybody knows, you know, cat turd. Trump likes him, goes to the White House, all that. Someone attacking cat turd, I'm saying cat turd is emblematic of just totally defending Trump no matter what. And then we're saying, hey, we're smart. We understand the base. We are the base. If something makes me mad, you can bet it makes pretty much everybody or 90% of MAGA mad. I mean, if I see something get outraged, I know I'm going to go look what you're saying. It's going to be basically what I'm saying because we're logical, we're informed, we're engaged. And when I was telling you in the last 6-7 months that Trump was really hurting himself with some of the things he was doing, we need to put pressure on administration to stop that, to course correct, and they have some. I did it from a place of needing Trump to succeed. I mean, I've got real skin in the game. The Democrats have said they want to get back in, and they want to come after me even worse. Plus, they're going to wreck the country for everybody. I mean, we really need Trump to succeed. But you don't do that just blindly with whatever's going on with some of the special interests that can get in there, and then they start having some bad policies. And then people say, well, don't really cover those because it makes him look bad. You got it backwards. We need to do what's right regardless. And when you do what's right in life, it's almost always better for everybody. But regardless, God's watching. So I haven't wanted to say that Susie Wiles is a villain. But I do know that if you criticize her, she will do a lot to block your access to the president and all the rest of it. I have never courted access to the White House. I have never kissed ass. I, quite frankly, have been invited and to both Mar-a-Lago and to the White House. They didn't push too hard, and I knew what it was going to be, so I didn't go. And, you know, the way it works, Trump just called me. He was watching the show. He wants us to come to dinner. When can you come? I'm like, okay, well, tell me when set up. Roger calls me the next Tuesday. Well, I went up there, had dinner. He said he missed not seeing him. I was like, Roger, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I was invited to go to a couple things at Mar-a-Lago where Trump comes out and pats everybody on the head and says you're good. And here's the deal. I know going and being seen with Trump is like a red cape to the left. And it's not that I don't want to be attacked by him. But that combination freaks them out so bad that it's not that I'm scared to go be seen with him, but I can, like a submarine, run around attacking the enemy and not just wave red capes in their face. Whereas I can advise Trump, I can advise his advisors, I can get information on the air that gets to him constantly. And so we have a bigger effect talking to 20, 30, 40 million people a day and having all you call Congress and call on the talk radio. And that's what really gets to Trump. Is when he hears something over and over and over and over again. So I've learned the best way to communicate with Trump is in a big spectacular way. Not me like, Mr. President, you ought to do this. He's got all this stuff swirling around. But when he sees like a watchtower, you know, lit when the enemy's coming on the yonder hill, he gets that gets Trump's attention. And you see it all the time where we're having big effects, the administration and our guests and things, and they summon guests from the show, from watching the show. J.D. Vance a month ago, brought up Mark Mitchell when they saw the show to warn Trump and tell him what he needs to do because J.D. Vance agreed. And Susie Wiles was there, and, you know, she was listening, and, you know, Trump was there for about 45 minutes and agreed to a lot of it, and we even saw some course correction out of that meeting. So I don't want to say Susie Wiles is the bad person. Plus, when you know, you're told, oh, it's a Vanity Fair interview. Oh, she did this other TV interview. And I saw that, you know, the camera interview. And she's saying stuff like, yeah, he never really sleeps. You know, he's superhuman. And, I thought she came off as very genuine in the interview and very real. I mean, obviously, she's high energy. I mean, we're not trying to make her look bad showing photos of her with her eyes bugging out. That's pretty much what she looks like all the time. So she's credited by people I trust, really getting Trump where he got partial control of the Republican Party when he almost had no control before. So I'm not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I just know this. Trump greenlit Ed Martin's task force investigating how I was persecuted by the DOJ and the CIA. And when he started an investigation into them, not just stuff you heard about, but a lot more, it came from Susie Wiles to Todd Blanche, the deputy head of the DOJ. He really runs it. Nothing against Pam Bondi, but it's just known she goes and gets her hair done and, you know, goes and exercises and flies up like once or twice a week for a day to D.C. and does press conferences. So I don't, I mean, she just basically isn't even the she's just a talking head. And that's what Trump wanted her for, was to be a PR person. But it's still bad because you have a Democrat, Todd Blanche, and they're running it. So that's a big strike right there. And there's a lot of other stuff. But her instincts are to really just be too mainstream of an old-fashioned Republican. And people don't want that. They want revolution. They want action. And we're seeing that with Kennedy. We're seeing it with Tom Homan. We're seeing it with DHS. We're seeing it in trying to end these wars. I mean, I'm seeing so many good things. But we cannot lie to anybody here and not say that Trump is in trouble. Now, he's always able in the past to pull it out and issues change and, you know, new things develop. But it is a fundamental loss of trust with how the Epstein thing was handled. And then that created the ground for people, you know, really not knowing what happened with Charlie Kirk. And just one successive PR disaster after the next. And I'd liken it to old James Bond movie where, you know, the agent comes in to Spectre and there's aquariums all around the office and there's aquariums under it with sharks. And the head of Spectre doesn't like what the agent's done, so he hits a button and the floor opens up and you fall into the sharks. Like it or not, Trump is the floor. And if Trump fizzles out and they win the midterms and then all the impeachment stuff cranks up, they could get him this time. And that is the equivalent of dropping the country and all of us and our future into that. So, again, it's great to critique Trump all day, and I do it, to get him back on track. But people that aren't going to support him or the good stuff that is happening are crazy, and people that think he's perfect are crazy. And I know I've harped on this a lot, but it's a big deal. Now, I don't know if Susie Wiles really said some of the things that they say she said to Vanity Fair, because I don't trust them. I understand she's an older lady, but what are you doing talking to Vanity Fair? They have no power except you giving it to them. What is Trump doing? Constantly talking about Jimmy Kimmel, who had almost no viewers until Trump started talking about him, and now he has more than he did. It's not huge, but I mean, he's literally giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to the dinosaur media. And I get it. He's 79 years old. He thinks that's the big media. No, Susie, if you gave an interview to Breitbart, it would be 10 times bigger than Vanity Fair, and they wouldn't misquote you. But if she did say these things, Trump needs to demand the tape. If she did say this stuff, then she is a fool. Running her mouth against Elon Musk and stuff like that. That is stupid. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We have a new product in at thealexshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number 1 app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number 1. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number 1 news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Reverend, Reverend, please come quick. 'Cause I got something to admit. I met a man out in the sticks, a good old miss. He drove a series tank Cadillac and wore a cigar on his lip. Don't you know Liddell wears a suit and tie? So I'm driving down to 61 in early July. White as a cotton, feeling sharp as a knife. I heard him howling as he passed me by. And he said, I know you, I know you, young man. I know you by the state of your hands.
Mustafa Karbouch worked in the Islamic Studies Department as a senior person at Brown University in Rhode Island. And his bio, his pictures, his information was removed off of there the day after two students were killed, including the head of the Republican group there, and nine others wounded. And so people began to investigate why that happened. And they looked at photos and videos of him at Palestinian demonstrations and things like that, and comparing it to the little bit of video they'd released. And when you see all the background of how deer in the headlights and scared the administrators, the mayor, the police chief look, how they haven't offered a reward, how when they said, well, you told us the description, yeah, we'll put it on the website. Police never do that. They put it on the website while they're on national TV on every channel. They say the description. A 5'8", 5'9", overweight person wearing black, white skin, had a ski mask on, but you could, you know, or part of it, depending on the videos, looks like a black surgical mask, but you can see the fat, extremely pasty face. There's videos of the reported shooter from the surveillance cameras outside, the Ring cameras, then compared to him at demonstrations walking, and just to me, looks like the same build, looks like the same white skin, looks like the same fat face, looks like the same fat neck. And he's the Islamic Studies head guy. And then he scrubbed off, so we sent an email into their press department today, this morning. The American Journal did, Matt and Brianna, and they responded back quickly and said, oh, well, we didn't want to have him doxed and harassed. So here's the question. Was he being harassed the day after by somebody? Or do you preemptively, because he's a Muslim, think people would go say it was him? That'd be terrible if it wasn't potentially true. So Officer Brandon Tatum put out a headline. Suspect identified in Brown University shooting as school deletes pro-Palestinian student off website. They call him a student, but he was in a department. But I guess they'd already promoted him to that. So we need to figure out the facts here when you look at this. But there may be some innocuous reason. He's just completely, you know, innocent. And maybe the person they're telling us, you know, was the shooter. Who knows if that's even true, the guy in black walking around. Maybe he just walks like and looks like and happens to have a pot belly and happens to have pasty white skin and a fat wide face. And maybe he just happens to walk around with his hands behind his back like this guy. I mean, maybe they're just similar. That is entirely possible. But why no reward? Why not put the description out on national TV? Why bury it on a website? And did you preemptively scrub this off because you knew he was innocent right away? The next day is when they scrubbed it. And then they slow rolled surveillance footage and won't release the stuff from inside the building, which they admit was high tech and be used for face scanning. HD. So when you look at Europe, where they put you in jail if you get raped or your family member gets killed, you point out it's a Muslim, and you say the Muslims should be kicked out of the country, you get 3 years, 5 years, depending on the country, in jail. Hell, Ireland, longer. So, and when a Muslim runs over a bunch of people at a Christmas celebration, happens all the time here and in Europe, they'll fight like the devil in the media to cover that up. So why did they go expunge all this stuff about him? And then when you look at the footage they have released of the shoulders and the face and the head and the way he walks, man, he is a really unlucky guy. He's at the university and he's at Palestinian demonstrations, pro-Palestinian demonstrations, and all this stuff. And then the person they tell us is the shooter just really fits like a key in a lock. But, you know, we thought we knew who was the pipe bomber after 5 years of cover-up in D.C. And then magically, when all this attention came down on it, oh, they found a highly autistic man who, it turns out, is basically blind, can't see 3 inches in front of his face. And you have all these FBI whistleblowers coming out. They're currently in there saying that this is a setup. You got Thomas Massie in Congress saying, you got Grassley saying it's a cover-up. So whether it's federal or local, they're acting very, very suspicious. But who knows, they may grab a portly, autistic or retarded white man anytime now and say, no, here he is, he did it. And then they'll say, oh, you were wrong, it wasn't this individual. But the question is, where is the Islamic studies individual? Where, I mean, and again, this stuff's coming out online. I don't know if this was actually a computer gate analysis or somebody just said that. But see, I don't need a computer. I got an electrochemical one that God gave me. And we play Officer Tatum's breakdown of it. For TV viewers, you can see him at a Palestinian demonstration walking, and it's right next to the surveillance footage next to it, and it's like, wow. But again, I'm sure there's a reason they scrubbed him off there. I'm sure there's a reason we haven't heard from him. Maybe he's had an unscheduled trip to the Middle East? Is he even here? You know, we need the FBI to check with him and see how he's doing. Or we need to check the TSA logs and see if he's gone on a hastily arranged trip out of the country. Where is he? Mustafa Karbouch. Hell, I'd love to have Mustafa Karbouch on the show. So we'll read you what we sent the university, their quick response back, and then I have my questions for them. But as you've noticed, across the board, no one is buying any of this. And again, it's part and parcel of where we are as a country, because we've been lied to so much, and I've seen a lot of just super incompetency by the Rhode Island administrators and by the police. And you know, the more woke you get, the more dysfunctional. I mean, again, more than half the federal employees only go into work once a month. They do nothing. And so maybe it is just total, complete, insane incompetence. But, man, they were sure quick to get back with us this morning about him. And they were sure quick to make sure, before the bodies were even cold completely, to get everything about him off the website. And there was a lot. I guess they didn't know about Internet Archive or the Wayback Machine that is invaluable to freedom. So let's go ahead and go to a boil down. It's clip 33 of an internet influencer analyzing it and talking about Officer Tatum's response. I'm not going to play Tatum's whole 20-minute report on it last night. I'm just going to play a little bit of it here. But I think this guy needs to exonerate himself. We need to find out where he is and make sure he's okay. Because the school says they took everything out about him so he couldn't be a victim. They don't say he was being victimized. They don't say no. They were just worried because they thought people might think it was him. Why would they think that? Why would they think that? And again, we found news articles, we showed them the last few days, where Brown's even been criticized for being such a police state and having 800 cameras and more cameras per capita for the size of the school, super ultra leftist, than any other college in the United States. 800 plus surveillance cameras. we have like three, four, five generation back, because you know the new generations come out every couple of years. We got like I have to check. I think like a 10-year-old system here. We had one before that, and it's still way better than this. And we got cameras all around the building and in key parts inside. You know, not in the offices, but in the hallways and doorways. And when something happens or somebody shows up and there's been incidences, we just instantly have an armed guard. They're like, we get over there to the big computers. There's all the screens over there. And we just go, doop, doop. Okay, here they are. They come over here. They park here. All right, they came over here. Doop. They came to this door. Doop, doop. And just like, just boom, 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 boom. But they locked it down for 12 hours, did the Kabuki Theater coming in with the SWAT teams and having them all put their hands up and do all this. Though you know they went into the security room, which had security guards and police in it, and they just went, okay, here's the class. And I looked it up. There was cameras in there. It was a big conference room. Doop. Are we going to see the why can't we see the shooting? Well, you'd think that would really let us get, you know, give us some clues. Or the cameras in the hallways. And he comes in on a Saturday to a special study thing for a test, almost like he was an administrator or something, which he was, and knew a lot of stuff. And he goes in and goes up the elevator and just, you know, just goes straight in to where these people are. And now they're saying it was deliberate the way he did it, whoever he is. Or maybe it's a woman. You know, 97% of violent crime is men, so they can say it's a man. Probably a white supremacist, actually, if I had to guess, being sarcastic. And there's not like a jihad going on or anything. So it could be somebody else, though. So here are these two reports back to back. Tatum's saying that he thinks the guy's a suspect. That's his opinion. This other guy reporting on it. He's saying, oh, this is the guy. I think that's too far. There could be a very, you know, easy explanation for this. I don't. I'm trying to think of what it could be, but I'm sure there's an explanation for it. But I guess if this goes on too long, becomes a controversy, there's going to be a mentally retarded white guy that's found. And I'm sure he's guilty, just like the retarded black guy they just blamed for the pipe bombing. I'm sure he's guilty. We predicted, literally when we heard this was going on, that it would be a disabled person, because they do this over and over again. Marinus Vanderlube was mentally retarded. And he got pinned with the Reichstag fire February 27th, 1933, that allowed Hitler to become a dictator. Firebombed the Capitol. Of course, he didn't do it. The Nazis did it. And they found a retarded, communist, homeless person. And they executed him. Oldest trick in the book. So we don't, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. I'm not even saying this guy's a suspect. I will say they showed the earlier photo of him there on the school. Just he looks very satisfied. He has that same extremely confident look of the Somalis and others. I just wonder what it must feel like just to, I can't even make a face like that, just of total bliss, total satisfaction. You have arrived. You are the ultimate thing on the earth. It's just amazing. So Here are folks asking questions. Here it is.
You guys see the look of shock on my face? Yeah, it's not there. This is Mustafa Karbosh that's apparently the suspect in the Brown University shooting. This is the piece of trash that took out Ella Cook. Ella Cook was the head of the Republican Party at Brown University, a very liberal school. Now, Officer Tatum's reporting that he was on the Brown University website. Apparently, he was part of the Office for Middle East Studies. And guess what? They scrubbed him pretty quick off that website. Laura Loomer's reporting that other media outlets said he actually shouted this before he opened fire. Shocker.
The suspect yelled. Life has been reported in
it. Listen, like my heart goes out to the victims. It goes out to the families.
Are we really sitting back and seeing another young conservative, a prominent conservative in this country, have their voice taken by a far radical leftist Islamist jihadist? That's really where we're going? Something's got to change, guys. I don't know what to tell you, but you need to wake up out of the little coma that you're in. Leftists, I don't know why you would ever want this to be a thing, but you've lost all sense of humanity if you believe that this woman right here should have been taken by that guy because he was a pro-Palestinian. Get fucking real. As for Ella Cook and her family, it's tragic, but we need accountability, and if this really is the suspect, maximum penalty.
Leave some web pages for students or faculty to take it down. Is that a response to any external threats to anyone in the community?
We have been working very closely with law enforcement to provide them with all of the internal to Brown information that they need to do this investigation. It's their investigation. They're the professionals. So we're providing information. We're not in the job of reviewing it for them. I know nothing about web pages being taken down as part of this. It's the first I've heard of it.
In the back.
That was a disaster. I mean, they got the guy's height, they got his weight, and they go, well, you want to update the country on what this guy's ID looks like? And they go, we'll put it on the website.
Right.
You have millions of people watching the press conference live, and you don't want to tell anybody? You say, oh, I'll put it out on a website? Come on. Is the guy 220? Is he Caucasian? What? They didn't even do it. And then they get the timeline wrong, like Dana said. I couldn't hear a word he said. Everyone's trying to back off. No one knows what's going on. It's 3 days later after a gunman walked into an Ivy League university building and murdered the vice president of the College Republicans, killed two people, injured 11, and walks away. We don't know where he is. We don't know what he is. And doesn't seem to be that concerning to the people that were delivering that press conference. This was a premeditated target attack. The guy was casing the facility beforehand. They have 800 cameras at this university. They didn't have a camera at the entrance to the building so you can see who goes in and out of the building. This is stupid.
But they did have cameras. We know they're lying. So, oh, they were broken. They were old. We didn't have them in that area. All lies. Mustafa Karbouch, I'm sure, is innocent. We're just covering what other people are saying. So we sent an email to the university PR department this morning, and we said, as you may know, rumors are swirling online about an enrolled student who's also administrative, Mustafa Karbouch, that recently had his page removed from the Brown University website. Additionally, witnesses have stated in a video conference and online that Allah Akbar was shouted out and moments before the shooting occurred. Is this person a potential suspect in the shooting? Why was his profile removed, more than that, from your website? Is this person still attending class? Is there any merit to the claims of Allah Akbar was shouted by the shooter or at the time of the shooting? Good job, Matt and Brianna and the American Journal team. So here's their response back to us. Brown University comments to InfoWars. Doxing of the community member. Okay, so he was doxed? We went and looked. We couldn't find anything about him before until people went and looked at what was taken down. So they went back to the Wayback Machine and went through it. We've got all the videos people doing the investigation. So doxing of the community member in the aftermath of the shooting. We've seen harmful doxing activity directed towards at least one member of the Brown University community. Okay, you're saying it was him? It's important to make clear that the targeted individuals could do irrevocable harm. Accusations, speculation, and conspiracies we've seen on social media and in some news reports are irresponsible, harmful, and in some cases dangerous for the safety of individuals in our community. So why have you put in a reward out for who killed two of your students and shot nine others? It is not unusual as a safety measure to take steps to protect individual safety when this kind of activity happens, including in regard to their online presence, as law enforcement officers, officials stated clearly on Tuesday afternoon. In this individual's name had any relevance to the current investigation, they would be actively looking for the individual and providing information publicly. Okay, so they're telling us he's cleared, basically. You'd be hearing about him, you know, the police would be doing something if they thought he was a suspect. Okay, then I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm done, and I think Mustafa is an awesome person, and I'd love to have him on the show. Mustafa, you can reach out to us at showtips@infowars.com. We would love to have you on the broadcast as soon as you'd like to come on. And all of you looking at the videos, And looking at the way he walks and the way the supposed shooter walked and the fact that they have a lot of the same features and things, I don't think you should be questioning the police or the Rhode Island folks at the college. I think the right thing to do is just drop this right now, and we'll probably never know who did it, and it's probably a white supremacist. There you go. All right, I'm done. Open and shut, folks. Everything's fine. And any other things that happen, any other attacks that you're seeing every day now, well, we know from the Democrats, the number one threat is white supremacists. And it was white supremacists hit Sydney. It's white supremacists in D.C. with the National Guard. It's white supremacists out in Washington that called the police with 911 and stabbed him. Of course, actually, he's been indicted now. It was an Islamic attack. But just whatever. The point is we don't want to be hateful here. And I think it's good that the Australian government has not decried or criticized any of the Islamic attacks, or the latest one, or the Muslims surrounding the biggest church in Sydney and chanting death to Israel and stuff in the last few days. I think that's completely reasonable. All right, I'm being sarcastic, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to break. I've got all this other incredible news, Nick Fuentes coming up, and so much more. Before we go any further, remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days, the rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the Ultramethylene Blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish Sea Moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexshow.com. Make the decision now. Get our Ultramethylene Blue. Get our Shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at infowarsstore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key. You're everything.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA Revival today at thealexshowstore.com.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
Segment before I head all this other news to the next segment, and then Kyle Seraphin is joining us to respond to the bizarre behavior that no doubt is an attempt at some type of cover up in Rhode Island, in my view. His incredible accuracy that Bongino would be announcing that he's gone today. That's now in the New York Times that he is leaving and gone today. He may change it just because he wants us to be wrong. Also, a bunch of other inside baseball he's got that he already had yesterday, but he wanted to break today on the show on some huge issues on shakeups inside the DOJ, Cash Patel, and more. So that's all coming up. But I wanted to hit this. We had a very important interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday. And as she prepares to leave Congress in less than a month, she's really trying to get bills that she's been trying to get passed for many years through. She had to hold up the Defense Authorization Act spending because the margin's so small she has that power. That's why I wish she wasn't leaving. Just to get them to allow her bill, H.R. 3492, that makes it a felony to cut anybody's penis or breast or uterus out or put them on deadly drugs and sterilize them. If they're below the age of 17, and Europe's already passing laws, the UK's passing laws, this is, you know, an 80-20 issue. It should be a 99-1 issue. It's the right thing to do, and it's coming up in the next few hours for a vote. And I'm going to tell you, if you can get near unanimous votes out of Republicans to release the Epstein files, which is just the files the family handed over. There's always going to be more files. Because it protects children, which I supported, release it. I knew they'd cherry pick it with nothing burgers, and they did. Well, this is really abusing children. This is just as bad or worse than pedophilia, and it's the same satanic energy of sterilizing and mutilating children, and it comes right out of the same globalist eugenics euthanasia death cult. Literally out of the Tavistock Institute, MI6, CIA. So, if the Republicans don't pass this, I am going to be absolutely enraged. And we know that there's billions and billions and billions to be made through the medical systems and through the university sterilizing kids. And so any Republican, and Democrat for that matter, but you know they're going to pretty much all vote for it, you know, vote against the bill. Anybody that doesn't pass this bill is absolute garbage in my mind. And this is a litmus test. If this passes and Trump signs this, which he says he will, that's just another great thing that we've been able to do for the children. So everybody needs to call Congress right now and tell them to pass H.R. 3492. Now, a lot of people will say, well, give us the number. I'm so busy, I didn't think to have that pulled up when I said this. I can't do everything for you. You can go search engine it. You'll have the number. Call it. Okay? But the point is that this cult is operating everywhere in the world now. It's the epicenter is the United States. It's very shameful. And they're recruiting children in public and private schools. The Pritzkers are at the tip of the spear in this. They're absolute criminals to be in prison. And let's defend the children. Let's get H.R. 3492 passed. If they don't pass it, then it's just another brick in the wall. I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
And now, the tip of the spear, leading the fight to take back the nation, it's Alex Jones.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, old number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven, and angels start to look good to me. They're gonna have to deport me to the fiery deep. Oh, thank you, Jack Daniels, old number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven, and I know I can't stay here too long, 'cause I can't go a week without doing wrong.
Number two, and I'm kind of tongue-tied, not because of lack of news. I'm sitting here looking at all this, and it is so incredibly important, all of it. Nick Fuentes is coming up in the third and fourth hour to cover all the different developments of the world, and I'm also going to debate some issues with him. There's also been new information put out on, not suspects, but potential people working with the suspect that killed two and shot 9 others, and all the bizarre behavior out of that university and out of the police and all the rest of it. So we'll be getting to that. Kyle Serafin, again, with huge breaking news. He nailed it again. Said 2 weeks ago on the show. You mean to pull the clip where he predicted it? Said it a few months ago. He said, gone by Christmas, and now the almighty New York Times, as Servant said on air last night, we did a special show, that it was going to break in the news tomorrow morning. And again, I said, well, why don't we just break it now? And he goes, well, Bongino might not quit right away or announce he's quit if we break it. And I said, who cares? You've got the sources. You're right. He goes, yeah, I do. So here it is, Dan Bongino clearing out his office in preparation for FBI exit New York Times. And he's basically already gone. It just hasn't been announced yet. So, but he's got even bigger news than that. I just point that out to show the credibility of his incredible sources, because he was already a huge whistleblower that so much what we know about the Democrats and Biden and the corruption was from him. He was a hero, Bongino, and everybody said. But then once Bongino and Patel got in there, suddenly he was bad because they decided to work, I guess, with the establishment FBI. At least Patel has. Bongino wants out. He doesn't want to be connected to all this. Well, Bongino, I hope you can wash it off of you, but I don't think you can wash this stink off. It's like a skunk. But it's certainly better for you that you've left, and we wish you well. You've done a lot of great work in the past. You just can't do bat turn 180s on policies and ideas and things you said, because the internet has a memory. And so it's just to see the fall of Trump's DOJ, and by fall, down the line, they have been working with the globalists and not getting these people indicted and playing footsie with the system. And so hopefully with the shakeup, that's really what Sherman's coming on about. Hopefully with the shakeup, and we know some of the names, and I don't want to say the names because in the deep state already knows who those names are, but then it'll draw attention to it. But maybe we should say the names so people can get behind those people. But we really know what's going on here. But after Kyle was a whistleblower for years, got persecuted, and then started exposing bad stuff in the administration to try to correct it and save it, he just has all the sources now because he's the guy to go to. He's got the cojones to put this out. And he's got grand jury summons, and you know, he's gotten the Google messages like I have, letting you know that you've been, you know, they've been subpoenaed for information, so you know there's criminal investigations. I mean, we're over the target. You ask why most people don't take on the deep state? Well, because they try to put your ass in prison or kill you. And I'm not saying Patel and Bongino are deep state, but they, I don't think they realized they were parachuting into the middle of hell. I don't think they realized just how bad it was, and they were in over their heads. And look, I'd be in over my head. I mean, everything that's happening in the world, we're all in over our heads. Now, I shot this report 2 days ago. I was going to air it on the main show yesterday, and there's been new news on the poison shots that's come out that I want to tie this into. So I wanted to play this report from Dr. Michael Yeadon. A lot of this is already known, and he actually broke a lot of this 4 or 5 years ago as the former head of Pfizer vaccine program. But now there's all these other whistleblowers that are currently in and all these documents coming out. And we know that the COVID shots were premeditated, multi-spectrum soft kill weapon, depending on your genetics, what it would hit. Some people it kills right away. Some people it kills in a year. Some it kills you in different ways. And it goes in and turns off your immune system. Well, it's described in the report. But everything he says, you can then go through and see it on record. So this is all premeditated. All the globalist programs, flooding the West with Muslims, the exact same NGOs, drag queen story time, pedophilia being promoted with the exact same NGOs, whether you're in Australia or the U.S. or Germany or Canada. And I know you all know it's premeditated and coordinated, but I'm just now seeing congressional hearings where they're like, here's how the State Department funded Soros, and the NGOs directed the Border Patrol and were in command of them. I'm down there at the border 5 years ago and 12 years ago, same under Obama, and you'd have the NGOs with their SUVs that had the NGO's name on it, the different charities, the Jewish charity, the Catholic charities, you name it, and they'll be at these giant migrant camps on the U.S. side, you know, the size is like some of them 10 football fields. You've seen all our footage. And I'm like, look, that's an NGO. That's an NGO. Here's their cars. And you'll see literal purple-haired women that look like they're 15 years old and like all these obviously effeminate men, super young, right out of college from the NGO, commanding the Border Patrol. And they run up and they snap and tell them. And then the Border Patrol became a delivery system for all these illegal aliens and kidnapped kids. So, yeah, we already knew all this. We were being censored and blocked then. Now people are just now discovering it. It's not a day late, a dollar short. It took so long to get this far. People that get frustrated, things aren't moving quick enough. I get it. But compared to how fast we were moving before, we're at light speed. All right. So this is a very important report. And if you already know this information, great. Have you warned someone today? Take this report that's on X. It's on Rumble. And share it with people. This is life-saving information because they're already planning new pandemics. They're planning new four shots. They're trying to roll it out again. In America, we're different because of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And all the exposure and the black box labeling of the COVID shot that it can kill you and it's super dangerous and taking away the liability protection from it and a whole bunch of other poison shots. Beautiful stuff's happening, but it's only happening here. But the EU and others and Australia, they all want us censored because they admit it's causing an awakening in their country. We're trying to liberate the planet right now. Here's Dr. Michael Yeadon.
If you inject me with a gene sequence that will make my body manufacture a foreign protein that isn't me, that is a viral protein, my body, every cell in my body that follows that instruction will signal to my immune system that I have been attacked, and my immune system goes to war and attacks and kills every cell that complied with that instruction. And that is what has happened, ladies and gentlemen, to every cell in every tissue in every person who has been thus injected.
I've seen a lot of powerful information, a lot of incredible studies in the last 5.5 years exposing where COVID came from, how it was man-made in the lab in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, shipped to China so it could be released there so they have plausible deniability. And then the fact that the so-called vaccine wasn't a vaccine, it was a deadly, toxic gene therapy. But this latest video by Dr. Michael Gedeon, who was the head of the vaccine program for many years, at Pfizer, who retired just a few years before, is so incredible because it's all backed up. We already know all this, but in the short video, he lays out how incredibly premeditated this was and how it's the perfect weapon. First, it orders your body to manufacture a foreign entity, which causes your body to reject itself, just like you reject somebody else's organ that isn't yours, that's implanted in you. Then it produces the spike protein from the HIV virus that's incredibly toxic and attacks the strand of the DNA that is critical in your body repairing cancer. So it makes your body attack itself, makes your body see itself as foreign, autoimmune disease. Then it makes your body mass produce something that triggers cancer and so many other issues. And then the nanolipid particles they use, they know you can't use something like this because it travels to the ovaries, testicles, and liver. This is the perfect weapon, but it doesn't kill everybody, and it sickens you over time. Dr. Gedeon's about to break it down. This was premeditated mass murder. Over 30 million people have died extra since the shots rolled out that moved normally. That's bigger than all our major wars and soldiers in the last century that died. That is the reality. Here is the report. This is the most important information ever. Fauci, Gates, all of them need to be going to prison. They're planning new pandemics. They're planning new poison shot rollouts. Bill Gates openly says he wants to reduce world population, but he wants you to take a shot so you don't die. Here's the facts. Share this video like your life depends on it, because it does.
The really important thing I need to tell you about, because this comes from the core of my training, and then decades of application of looking for potential toxic vulnerabilities in a medicine. It was in the core of my training to look out for molecules and components that were picked up for good reasons to accomplish some medicinal aim, but might have toxic liabilities. When I describe to you three things about these so-called vaccines that I know as a professional from this industry that gave birth to them must axiomatically cause injury or be known to be risks, I could pick others, but there are three that I know to be true in the heart of my being in training. The first one is we were told that these molecules were gene sequences that encoded something called spike protein. The spike protein, we were told, was on the outside of this virus. Now, I don't agree with that, but this is what we were told. A cartoon, like a spear with spikes coming out of it. We were told these vaccines encoded the protein, the spike protein that sat on the outside of these viruses. And this would train your immune system to fight it off. Ladies and gentlemen, is a really important concept in immunology. It's taught to every person who has a training in immunology, as I did, in the first lesson. What allows your body to treat itself kindly, but to go to war?
By the way, hit pause. Back it up 10 seconds. I didn't point this out in what I shot to the report, but, and later I realized I wanted to say this. You understand that I'm not even a virologist or epidemiologist or any of this, and I know this stuff, okay? This guy's one of the most prestigious in the world. The point is that this is like default stuff. Like water freezes at 32 degrees. or don't shoot yourself in the head with a shotgun. It might hurt. And that's why he and so many other top scientists, like even the top advisor to the EU, Wolfgang Woodard, saw what was in it, what they were saying was in it. They wouldn't give the details. Remember, the sheets were blank paper that, you know, that came with the shots, which is totally illegal under all law, because it was even worse. And then they were also changing up what was in it in different lots. You had the hot lots and the, you know, the really killer batches. We all know those now. I mean, this was scientifically done. They were gauging it all. They were doing it. And he explains all that. I mean, this was heavy planning. And we know who it was. And now you notice Redfield, former head of the CDC, has come out and said, oh, okay, they're deadly. Stop it. Oh, I'm not involved. He knows to run. He's a rat leaving a sinking ship. Because he knows what's about to come out. It's already coming out. I mean, this is so historic. Continue.
Training in immunology, as I did, in the first lesson, what allows your body to treat itself kindly, but to go to war if something untoward is discovered in your body? And the concept is this: self, non-self, or foreign. My body is healthy right now. My immune system that is surveilling all parts of my body is at peace with itself because everything it encounters is known to it to belong to my Eden itself. If you inject me with a gene sequence that will make my body manufacture a foreign protein that isn't me, that is a viral protein, my body, every cell in my body that follows that instruction will signal to my immune system that I have been attacked, and my immune system goes to war and attacks and kills every cell that complied with that instruction. And that is what has happened, ladies and gentlemen, to every cell in every tissue in every person who has been thus injected. The toxicity that you would experience varies tremendously, because some people would take it up efficiently, copy it efficiently, make the protein for a long time, and I'm afraid those people are mostly dead. Other people took it up poorly, transcribed it poorly and only briefly, and those people are alive. And then there's every continuity in between. But that point, that if you inject an instruction that makes your body make a foreign protein that is not self, your immune system will attack it. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this. This is the principle of tissue matching in organ transplantation. This is the principle behind failed tissue transplants, organ rejection. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the basis behind autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis and many others, and neurological diseases where your body destroys itself. That is the first principle that was designed into every company's molecule: Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca. So I knew by the middle of 2020 these were designed to cause injury. How much, I didn't know. I still don't completely know. But this expert is telling you that they were designed to cause injury. The second really important point to tell you about is what was encoded in these gene-based vaccines, alleged vaccines, is spike protein. I didn't know what spike protein was. It was new to me, but it's the spikes on the outside of this alleged virus that I don't think is real. I could find proteins like it. And I found all of them were known to be toxins, like neurotoxins, cardiotoxins, and things that would prompt blood coagulation. So again, the question, why would you encode in your helpful medicinal product something that, when expressed in your body, would harm you? That's the second thing. There is a third one, which is when I discovered it late in 2020 or early 2021, I have to say I cried. Two of the products made by Pfizer and Moderna were formulated. Every medicine is formulated. You'll be familiar with a tablet. It might be film-coated or dry. It might be a capsule of various sizes. It could be a liquid for injection, an inhaler. All of these, you have the active principle, but it's surrounded and protected with something that helps it do its work, hopefully beneficial work. Two of these products were wrapped in something called lipid nanoparticles, or LNPs. Lipid is fat. Nano means tiny. Particle means little blobs. So they were wrapped in lipid nanoparticles, and I looked them up, and I thought, oh, that's quite interesting. They had been used before in certain oncology drugs. But here was the thing. As a toxicologist, when I started researching, I thought, these things are known to be toxic. And the further I explored, here is the shocking thing. Lipid nanoparticles, every one of them tested, is known to promote the uptake of their payload, whatever they were protecting, into the organs inside your abdomen, what's called the visceral organs, and most prominently, liver and your ovaries. So, ladies and gentlemen, the person who picks lipid nanoparticles to formulate these materials knew professionally that when it was injected into women and girls, this material would travel around their body and concentrate in their reproductive organs. And then it would do those two things I just described. It would be expressed and your body would recognize it as foreign and kill those cells. It would, when expressed, cause toxicity directly to those cells. And I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what possible motivation could you have for doing that when you could have picked half a dozen other means of protecting the drug? And I have to say, at that point, I knew deeply in my heart that the first two observations I made weren't just like mistakes or things they would ride the risks. These three things together told me someone got in a room, someone like me, and said, Dr. Yeadon, design injections that will injure, kill, and reduce fertility in the people you give it to, and design it so that it won't kill everybody, it won't injure everybody, but if we give it to enough people over time, it will lower the fertility in their health and reduce population. And this is what I have watched happen all around me for 5 years since that moment.
And this morning, I just went on X and searched Club of Rome, UN calls for depopulation, and found dozens of clips, you know, that I'd seen before, of major world leaders saying we want to depopulate the Earth. And the very same ones involved with these shots. This isn't even 2 + 2 = 4, folks. And I don't want credit for the work we've done exposing this being the tip of the spear. We're all in this together. They're attacking me and my family as well. I just want your support. We need to be on air to expose the next pandemics they've admit they're planning and the next attacks. That's why it is critical to your future that you share the live feeds, the articles, the videos. You decide how powerful we are together. You're everything. Look in the mirror. I want to thank you for your action, for saving me and my family, and I'm fighting with you to save you. We're doing it together. We hang together, hang separate. Benjamin Franklin. But I'm asking you to make the decision. It's up to you to do your Christmas shopping with us, get incredible products, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, some of the best designs, and the very best supplements that will change your life. Our supplements are so incredible. They're so good. I wish I could, you know, just like in a grocery store where they, you know, have a person giving you a sample of something because they know it's so tasty, you're going to want to buy it. I mean, I just need you to believe me and go to the store. Our very best-selling products are 60% off to induce those of you that never got them to get them. 80%+ of the people getting the supplements reorder. That's unheard of. But I need to get those of you on the fence to do it. But it's up to you. Ultramethylene Blue, the creatine gummies, the highest quality, the Irish Sea Moss, all of it right now, massively discounted at TheAlexShowStore.com. Get your orders in by Friday to ensure you get them way before Christmas. TheAlexShowStore.com. We'll be right back.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress,
stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com. We have a new product in at TheAlexShowStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at TheAlexShowStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight now.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexShowStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Nick Fuentes is coming up 6 after next hour. Have a big discussion debate. I can do 10 hours with Kyle Serafin. This is his own extremely popular and exploding program. Weekday mornings, Kyle Serafin Show, thekyleserafinshow.com. And he's always about detail and facts. You can take one of these stories he's got, spend an hour on it, and give you every little detail. Again, the top, most prolific, accurate whistleblower ever from the FBI. And then once they demonized him and attacked him, it made him even bigger. So now he has all the sources and good guys and gals giving him info. But he said months ago, and then again just 2 weeks ago on the show, he believes that Bongino will be gone, just from his own analysis, which is even better than sources, by Christmas. And then, you know, he said weeks ago, I hear his office is already cleared out. You know, he was set from sources even declare he's leaving today. The New York Times is reporting he is cleared out. He can declare as early as today. Kyle said last night, he goes, I don't really want to announce this yet because he'll probably just spite us and stay over it. We don't have a hard on for Bongino. The bigger issue is, why is he leaving? Well, it was Sheriff that said 6 months ago he's pissed about the handling of Epstein, which is a feather in his cap. We want to believe in these guys. But the bigger issue is who will replace him. We already know, but really who is that? The AG of Missouri, being who we know is a good guy, promoted, I'm heard from even higher. And the next shoe to drop is Kash Patel, who is now on his flight log spending half his time with his girlfriend showboating around. When he said never use the jet for personal stuff, he's using it double or triple, it looks like now. It was double to just fly around and act like a movie star while he should be heading up a manhunt for whoever attacked Brown University. So we've got all those stories, plus he's got other big developments happening. And we were talking about him last night, and then he sent me a bunch of other big stuff. So I don't know how we're going to cover this. I'm going to try to shut up. You can go wherever you want, but you are batting 1,000 at this point. Kyle Serafin, where do you want to start here? Because, again, it's not about undermining Trump. It's about if he doesn't have a good DOJ and FBI, we're not going to be able to fix this country. So we're doing a real service here. And we were getting criticized, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months ago by people. I'm not getting any criticism now. People get now, oh, you're trying to course correct. Yeah, out of the iceberg field. Is there a way to do that? Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, for whatever it's worth, I don't want Donald Trump to do less of what he claimed. I want him to do far more of what he said he was going to do on the campaign trail. I went back and listened to some of the old footage when he was out there making the original pitch, which was in October of 2016, like just before the election.
Told Hillary, I'm going to put your ass in prison.
Yeah, all of that is what we wanted. And then what we see is like this soft version of it, this kind of fake, you know, whatever. I keep calling it slop, and I don't know what else it is. It's sloppy propaganda, and slop is a really good way of just kind of saying it shorthand. So we're seeing slop. And rather than get the actual consequences that we were hoping to see, what we see is we see someone trying to message a win without getting the win. And so the Trump administration is becoming just a PR spin job instead of actually the
perfectly said, like saying the economy's fixed. No, you're making the right moves, according to the economists, and I agree. Some good stuff's on energy going down, but saying it's perfect, that's slop, and America knows it's slop. And we're saying stop slopping us.
Yeah, and people will, and here's the thing, like, the base is getting fed up with it because they've got tough times financially. They see things that are not wins. They see failures from the, you know, the law enforcement agency. They thought it was going to come in and just be like a Tasmanian devil, like nothing but teeth and claws, like destroying everything that's bad, which is a tactic. That's not the tactic that I recommended. I think the tactic I recommended would have been more successful. And instead what they did is kind of like half measures. So there's this story that came out yesterday, and we didn't cover it on the program when you and I did kind of a little update, but let's talk about it. It's from Fox. It says the FBI is doubting. Or they doubted probable cause in the Mar-a-Lago raid. So now we're going to rehash stuff from 2022. Okay, fine, let's do it. But let's not act like Fox News is breaking some kind of a story, or that we're going to basically be dropping this as some brand new information and that they're going to do something about it. Okay,
but I remember it came out over a year ago that they doubted the probable cause and thought somebody could get hurt. Yeah, it's all recycled
crap. That's exactly
crap.
It. It's slop. This is the only word. I did a whole podcast on it this morning, but basically what this story actually came out, in March of 2023. And then it was covered by members of Congress. Jim Jordan went really aggressive on it. Tom Massey interviewed Steve D'Antuono, who was the guy that was in charge of the Washington field office where I used to work. And they had significant doubts in the senior management, the senior executive service that was in the Washington field office. And there was this back and forth. Why is Washington field running this op? Why is headquarters weighing in on it? Didn't we already learn this in Crossfire Hurricane? They literally adjudicated all of these questions, and Merrick Garland came out and said it very clearly. And you guys can find clips of it. It's very easy to do. He's like, Merrick Garland said, I authorized this raid. At the end of the day, we've got people like John Solomon who carry water for this administration. We got Brooke Singman, who seems like a nice lady, but she works for Fox and she seems to do like FBI press releases instead of actually doing journalistic work. And all of these people are pushing out this slop saying, look what we found. So let me ask you this, Alex. If I was going to go do something that mattered and I was the FBI and I just uncovered some major wrongdoing, would I bring it to United States attorney's offices and say, hey, let's go forward and prosecute the people that broke the law? Or would I give it to a member of Congress so they could go out there and campaign on it like, look how bad these guys are, and nothing happens? Which one would you want to see happen?
I want to see a prosecution, not a bunch of hot air.
Which is why they gave it to Congress. You know, so let's just be real about it. That's what happened. That's slop. If you go out there and you run this sort of campaign on Fox News saying, look what we found, probable cause. At the end of the day, there's a magistrate judge who decides whether or not you've got probable cause.
No, you nailed it. We are being given, not with Kennedy, not with Gabbard, not with immigration enforcement.
Yeah, I think Hegseth has been doing a good job. I think that Chris Wright's been...
Exactly. That's the problem. Trump should be harping on all the real stuff he did and say, this is all hard, we're trying to fix it, just be honest, but don't tell us, oh, the economy's great. Inflation's fixed. People know it's not fixed. In fact, I was never rich, super ultra rich, like they said. But now after bankruptcy, I literally have to count every penny. And I'm literally getting a hamburger instead of the steak, which is fine. It's good to kind of be back to that. It's just my whole life, you know. But I understand, like, I go to the grocery store and I'm like, what the hell? You know, it's like, don't tell me inflation's fixed.
No, not when bacon that I used to go buy. I go to Costco. That's, you know, that's my thing. I got a big family. And so we go buy bacon and it's twice as much money. I go coffee. It's 50% more than I used to pay for it a couple of years ago. So, you know, they didn't reverse the inflation. Even if they slowed down the inflation from the Biden side, the cost is still high. And so people are experiencing that. We don't have 99 cents.
He did cut energy massively. He did cut eggs and stuff. He needs to just show the graphs and say, hey, we've cut it this much. We've slowed it. On these things, we've lowered it. Don't say it's all perfect. Affordability's a hoax.
Right. And don't tell me that we're in a new golden era when there's people that are, you know, that are looking at their pocketbooks and saying, I'm not going to vote for you because you said something and now you're lying to me. The number one job that Trump has never understood, he does a very different kind of sales than I used to do. And I was in sales and outside. You always under promise and you over deliver. You say, look, I'm going to do my best for you on this thing. And when you came and give more, then people get excited. If you over promise and under deliver, which is a classic politician move.
Oh, it's like coming onto a woman, even if a woman's into you. And then you act super desperate and super excited and start telling you all about yourself. No, you got to sit back and listen to them. And then it's a panty dropper. Sorry, but it's an analogy for life. Trump needs to have town halls where he sits and listens.
That's right. Instead of messaging. And so we did this yesterday where Susie Wiles went out and talked to Vanity Fair and made some big to do. And she talked to the wrong publication, I would say, because Vanity Fair, like I get emails from them and say, will you comment on this? I already know I'm talking to the enemy. And for anybody that's, you know, if anybody happens to be listening, that is one of those mainstream publications. And I know people at CBS and NBC and ABC and, you know, the New York Times, and it doesn't matter. Like all these places will reach out to me on occasion. I just know that if we have a different political leaning, there's a possibility that you want to do something negative with what I say. So I'm cautious about it. She went out and did something. And then what did we have to do? We got slop. We got every single cabinet and sub cabinet member going out on X and sharing it across the Twitter space saying, well, Susie Wiles is amazing and she's incredible. It's like, well, maybe she is, maybe she isn't.
By the way, with the Vanity Fair and all this, I know there's a video interview, I haven't time to watch it, but if she said, Elon's on ketamine and all this other stuff, that is like a loose cannon. Look, here's a problem. You've honed in.
That's what happens when somebody's used to being off camera and not used to being interviewed. Like you and I know that what we say, we're going to be held accountable for. If we say it out loud, there's a tape recording of it, there's a video of it, and someone's going to come play it in our face. You'd think guys like Dan Bongino would know that. You know, like he said stuff, and now when he says something different, we can play Dan Bongino versus Dan Bongino. You can play Kyle Serafin or Alex Jones versus ourselves. The question is how much have we changed and have we explained why, if we have at all? I generally, you know, I haven't been doing this nearly as long as you are, so you can find clips of me. I pretty much said the same thing for the last 3 years. I want to see a de-weaponized government. I want to see less government. I was 100% behind tariffs, even if I lost money on it. Because you know what? If you're going to fund the government through a consumption tax, which is what tariffs are, great. Just get rid of 80 or 90% of the government because you're not going to be able to fund all the stuff we do right now. I'm 100% on board with that. But you overpromised and you didn't deliver it. Susie Wiles, I think, is used to working in the background. She's worked to be in the lobbyist. So she's the person that has the dinner that's not recorded.
Well, let me just talk about how you're the side guy. And I'm kissing your ass. It's weird. It's like you're psychic. You sent me all this stuff. You told me huge news last night you wanted to break. And then you're not covering any of that. I was going to ask you about the crisis in the Trump administration, what you think about this address tonight that we don't know what it's about. What should it be? But I thought, I'm not going to do that because he's got all this breaking news and you go right there. But that is to me.
I think they're related, Alex. I actually do. I think what you've seen is you've seen a multi-dimensional failure of the people that needed to win. We needed to, like, you know, I was a paramedic, right? So when you get on scene, there's a couple things you got to do. First thing you do is you freak out, you panic because everything is overwhelming. That's normal. You do that for about 1 second. Then you get your wits about you and you start going down the checklist and doing what needs to be done. The border needed to be closed. You got to do that. That's a tourniquet. And then you got to start de-weaponizing the government. You got to start doing your interventions to fix the problem that might kill you in the order that they'll kill you. When you do a trauma assessment, which I used to do, you go up to a patient. What's the first thing that kills somebody? A massive hemorrhage. If they bleed out, you can't put the blood back in the field. So we've got to tourniquet things off. We got to go find and assess and put pressure dressings. We've got to go do things in the order that they will kill us. And one of the things that will kill us faster than anybody, and you know it and I know it, is a DOJ that runs on its own program where you've got deep-seated
exactly.
managers that have been going down forever.
How are we going to even triage the problems? Even we know the problems, we can't execute.
You have to go and stop the teeth that are going to bite into you. If this is the attack dog, which the DOJ is the attack dog, it's got a couple of teeth, ATF, FBI, DEA, United States Marshal Service. Those are the four canines. Okay, the Marshal Service hasn't been biting people the same way, so don't worry about them. The DEA's been able to hide; they've been loving it because they're off the radar. ATF, they still suck. The ATF's always sucked. The FBI is the single most talked about problem. And how did you fix it? You didn't. You swapped out the management at the top. You kept every single person that was below them. And even if you fired a ton of them, every single manager that is in a managerial position today, from the GS-15, which is the second line, all the way up to the senior, you know, just below Dan Bongino. All of those people came in under Chris Wray. Every single one of those people put their hand up in the air and said, I'm willing to be an FBI supervisor under the previous regime.
You've been dead on. What do we do during the shakeup? How far does it go? We were hearing Patel's out too. So what needs to happen? What does the public need to do to put, because we know Trump wants action too.
Well, Salon Magazine just covered that as well. They just said that they think that he's out, which means that Andrew Bailey would be in. It sounds like Andrew Bailey's been there long enough now that he could step into an acting role of the FBI, and then you'd slide in this guy, Chad Yarbrough, behind him. And now you've got two people that were at the top, and they're lights out. They've managed to fail at the things they said they would come in and fixed. They were going to release Epstein files. We've seen not that. They said they were going to find whoever the pipe bomber is. I'd like to share some stuff on that because I got somebody in Dubai reached out and shared with us a gate analysis video that's a little bit confusing. And you just go, okay, I don't think that's it. You we're going to find who did the cocaine at the White House, and we're going to find out who did the Dobbs leak. So those were the big stories these guys hung their hat on. The only one they said that they were winning, the only time that they said they won is that they got the pipe bomber. And I think they got the wrong person, because the guys that went into that job told us it was an inside job. It involved different sort of law enforcement agencies or members of the federal government. People
sure,
who were in a position covering
it
up.
It's classic.
And then, right. Then they turn around.
So the time we've got, let's move quick and come back soon for a whole hour because I wish we had more time. Let's get into this right now, because I told you the wrong time zone. I apologize. I messed up last night. Too much going on.
No worries.
Let's just triage this with just quick bites. I know you want to back what you say, but let's just give us what you think, and then we can, you know, tomorrow, whatever, get into it or hear people here on your show. What about Brown University and all the stuff going on there, the bizarreness and no reward and, oh, we're not going to tell you what he looks like, go to the website, and then scrubbing people off the site that I got to tell you, I've seen the videos, looks like the same guy, the way he walks. I need to be a gate analysis NSA computer program. I'm not saying he's guilty, but people like
I just saw some gate analysis online that indicated that like a 95 or a 98% match. Now, whether that was good, it was actually a software program that was designed for horses. But
well,
gate analysis,
clear.
Gate analysis.
I mean,
knees are knees,
like the
right?
The body, the face, the pasty skin, the way the guy's walking in the Palestinian deals, and they scrub him the next day. I mean, I already spent an hour on it, but my God, this looks bad.
It does. And so you got to ask the questions. First of all, that's local law enforcement. This is a local case. Like, it may have national profile, but it's not an FBI case. This is an FBI, what they call law enforcement assist. We heard from Sean Hannity last night. The FBI has stepped up a bigger step into it. The question is we saw the evidence response team, and it looks like the local evidence response team, and they must have got the B team or the new guys that are out there kicking snow around instead of using a tool. Like my buddy Steve Friend said, how come they can't find a $200 government rake to go through the snow and look for whatever they were looking for, shell casings or, you know, some sort of lost personal items? So we're watching subpar sort of a reaction and, you know, FBI exploitation of the crime scene. And so then we have to ask, they also arrested the wrong guy, right? They quote unquote detained the wrong guy for 12 hours. I'm sure that looked like an arrest when they went in there and grabbed him. And they did so based on what's called CAST, the Cellular Analysis Survey Team. Well, CAST has a mixed bag of really, really good stuff. They sometimes find people who are kidnap victims. They sometimes find guys that are cold cases of murder.
Well, we got a response back from the university. We said, why'd you scrub this guy? They go, well, he might have been doxxed. All I'm saying is, you look at the guy,
look at the priorities.
You look at how he walks, you look at all, I mean, I'm no computer program, but I know, you know, and no reward in all this. And I guess, obviously the police in the local area looks like they're kept by and controlled by the university. I mean, if this is a cover-up, and I see all the signs of a cover-up, I'm not saying of what, well then, Well, then it sounds like pipe bombing cover up 2.0.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. It sounds like people that either are doing one of two things possible. Either they're incompetent, which is difficult for me to fathom because I actually know the FBI to be a relatively incompetent or competent investigative agency. When they want to do it, they do a great job. If they are intentionally putting their worst foot forward to discredit guys like Cash and Dan, that wouldn't surprise me, although that would be a really appalling place for us to be at right now if that's what's going on. If people are putting deliberately the wrong people that don't know what they're doing, slapping jackets on them and have them wander around in the snow and kick it around with their feet instead of actually doing a grid search or something more targeted. You know, there are ways to get rid of snow. I know the FBI has them. They have these space heaters. What on earth are they doing there? I keep watching this B-roll footage. I've seen it like 5 or 6 times. I watch it on loop and I just go, I haven't been part of a lot of searches in the snow. But I've never thought that maybe kicking stuff with my foot would be the right answer. Like it doesn't look plausible unless these people are just filling up time, but they're all on camera looking ridiculous. And so we've got this overtly ridiculous kind of response, kicking things around in a very non-scientific. The FBI's evidence response team goes through specialized training. They go down to Quantico and do a boot camp. They've got an actual tier 1 version of that team that lives down in Virginia, and they fly up on the jet. That's what the jet was actually designed to do, fly out and do response to things like this. And they're really good, and they can fly stuff back and forth. They actually brought some of those people in for the Charlie Kirk scenario.
Sure, so shifting gears out of that, the time we have left, the latest on the pipe bomber fiasco, other FBI whistleblowers that are inside are saying that Brian Cole literally has horrible vision and is autistic, and no one's buying it. No one's believing. Like you said, the geolocation with the cell phones doesn't fit what they're saying.
Right.
Just like Candace Owens and her Egyptian planes. People actually got the data. It's not true. The majority of it. I mean, what's happening there? In fact, you sent us some clips.
Yeah, I think this is going to blow up in their face. So like, let's first watch who is this Brian Cole guy. There's a video from 2024. This was a body cam footage. There's about 50 minutes or 45 minutes of this actual interaction with the police officer. If you've ever had a fender bender where the cops show up, it can take a lot longer than a few seconds. But we can watch a few seconds of it and see a little bit about who this guy is, which basically nobody has seen.
Yeah, this is clip 2, Scripps News Service, Brian Cole encounter with police. Here it is.
Is everyone okay? Anyone hurt?
Okay, office. Everyone's all good?
Police responding to a Virginia traffic accident in 2024 captured these images of Brian J. Cole Jr. more than a year before federal authorities took him into custody and accused him of planting pipe bombs near Democratic and Republican headquarters in Washington, D.C.
Last thing, Justin, I was looking for a place that I could, go down to the next lane. And then
Cole was driving the blue Nissan Sentra when he rear-ended the truck in front of him.
If you would have left some space, you wouldn't have rear-ended the vehicle. Does that make sense? Okay.
A police officer wrote him a ticket that day for following too closely behind the other vehicle.
I see that you do have a good driving record. You have 4+ points, which is good.
That's enough. You can see he is seriously mentally impaired. With all the texts, all the stuff. If you saw him at the mall sitting on a chair, you'd say, oh, that guy's got mental problems.
And look, I mean, he's talking to the cop and he's doing this thing where he's hitting the shoulder over and over again. I saw 5 of those repetitive motions in a period of about, 8 seconds. And, it doesn't make him a bad person.
Tick.
It's a self-soothing thing under high pressure. Now that's a much longer clip. And what you can see, not in that part of the clip, but in the actual longer piece, is that he walks around and he doesn't have a right leg limp. Now that's something that was identified by the FBI. If you listen to the Washington Post, it was obviously identified by my friends over at the Blaze who clearly pointed out.
Yeah, B-roll clip 1. We don't need the audio, but B-roll, he's talking clip 1, the right leg limp. Here it is. Keep going.
It was pretty well established that the person who was the pipe bomber, which you're seeing on the bottom there, has a what's called right leg drag. It's a kind of a limp of sorts, but it's a real specific type of limp and people have a name for it in the physiology. What you're seeing on the top screen there is footage from a woman who used to work for the Capitol Police who was a goalie, and there they are walking off, and you can see that kind of like after playing and after being involved in sport. This is after a femur injury that resulted in some surgery. What you're seeing on the screen right now, I don't think anyone's seen before. This is from January 6th, and this is the woman that the Blaze identified originally, but more importantly, this is a Capitol Police officer who just got finished shooting pepper balls.
I'm no supercomputer, but my eye just immediately sees all 3 videos, same person, same shoulders, same head, same ass, same limp. I mean, that's how you know your neighbors. It's how you know your kids. It's how you know this stuff.
Human beings have a really uncanny ability to assess threat or not threat, or friend or not friend, or familiar or unfamiliar when we just look over and see people move. And the wildest part is that no matter what you do with the story of Brian Cole, which I don't think fits any of the fact patterns, I don't know how you explain away what you guys are showing on the screen right now. The person who was the alleged pipe bomber moved around Washington, D.C. confidently, knowingly, understood where he or she was going, which I think it was a she, and then sat down at a bush for 77 seconds. And after that happened, the next day, U.S. Capitol Police officers from a unit that worked in the same exact little space went directly to the bush that this person's sitting
yeah,
at
so we know.
And then
they
went directly to the bomb.
What they thought were live bombs. So we understand that, and you're right. So 5 years of this to cover up, as soon as this gets exposed and the blaze, they run out and find their potential patsy, and no one is buying it. And so where do you expect this to go down?
Well, yeah, would you stick around if you knew that you put out something? Listen, we heard the guy who was the number two who claimed credit for this case. Dan Bongino went out on Fox and said, you know, a number of things, including we're pretty comfortable we got our guy. Alex, you've been listening to people do press conferences a long time. You ever heard the police come out or the FBI come out and
no,
say,
when they
yeah,
came
we're pretty
out
confident.
With Rob Reiner's son, they said, he's it, capital murder. He's, we're going to put him in prison. He's going down. They didn't
That's
say,
how you
we're,
talk
we're
when you confidently
confident.
Work something.
We're pretty confident he killed his parents. No, they didn't say that.
Exactly. Because if you do that, if you leave the door open, there's a couple of things. Number one, you're saying that you're not that confident. And more importantly, you say that you're not that confident. You
well,
don't want to go out there
tell.
And
it's
put your name to it.
Gino looks away when he says, he goes, we're pretty confident. He's like, get me out of here.
It's the same sort of face and the same sort of delivery that we had on Epstein killed himself. I've seen the video, that kind of thing. So I think that that's another sort of motivating factor for him to leave. He doesn't want to be there when this thing falls apart. And remember, if he leaves on the 28th at the end of that pay period, 27th, 28th, which will be just before the end of this year, the detention hearing for Brian Cole Jr. is on the 30th, the last day before the year ends here. And I'm just going to predict right now that there's some fireworks. I may have seen some things that that indicate that they're going to have a really hell of a time, even showing that there's probable cause. Forget about the conviction. I don't think they have probable cause to even hold this guy.
Well, you already showed it. Like, literally, he's a...
That's part of it. That's not even the whole thing. I mean, there's worse.
He's a DoorDash driver, whatever it is. And like, it's not even the same time they claim. So they could just pick anybody that's driving around and set you up.
And what people will see is that there were not very many people driving around Washington, D.C. at that time. And the streets are mostly empty, as you can see from some of the pipe bomber footage. It turns out this is actually not that difficult to run down, which I'm going to go back and reiterate it. I think Tom Massey actually believes me when I said this because I heard him say it the other day. I think the FBI discovered Brian Cole Jr. in the area of the pipe bomb at the time and found out that he wasn't the guy. And then they dismissed him as a subject and they revived it and they brought it out on Dan Bongino's birthday of all things on his 51st birthday, went out there and announced that we got the guy. We got him. You know, here we go, Serge. Go for it. But I do not think you're going to find video that shows that this guy looks anything like or walks anything like or has anywhere near the confidence.
By the
There's
way,
even
five
worse
more minutes with us, but I should have said this up front. You got Senator Grassley, but particularly Tom Massey saying, I don't buy it. So they got a big problem. But imagine if they let it come out, it'll discredit the Democrats, the system, the deep state. So that's why this is happening. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com, become a subscriber, and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
With Kyle Serafin. Hopefully, Eric Twitzer to come back in the next few days. He's got his own program in the morning, which I routinely watch. Nick Fuentes is coming up to cover all the geopolitical issues, domestic issues, Trump's big address tonight. But we have an administration in crisis, the Epstein mishandling, the Charlie Kirk bizarreness, all of the lack of prosecutions. We want Trump to succeed, but just there's so many other issues to hit here. Bottom line, we had the real head of the DOJ kill the investigation and what was done with me, which is open and shut. That's just emblematic of the problem here. And like you said, we're getting this slop instead. Is there any way for Trump to turn this around? And what's your advice? Because a lot of people listen to you in Congress and in the White House, Kyle.
That's a weird thing to think about, but that may be the case. So let's do it this way. Every year you get a new start. Everybody does a New Year's resolution. They decide they want to be healthy. They want to go to the gym. They want to start something new. How about the New Year's resolution that you underpromise, overdeliver, and then refocus on the things? Highlight the wins quietly. You know, you could do propaganda that's not slop. And I highlighted some of that on my program this morning. I've watched Pete Hegseth go out and say, here's a real problem that we see in the, let's say, the chaplain corps.
Shooting. They want to be told, hey, we're doing
just
this.
Tell me what the problem is. Yeah. And then tell me an expectation. Look, it's going to take me 6 months to get after it. We're going to work on it. We probably won't give you updates until we have success because we don't want to waste your time. Great. Got it. You can come out and get ahead of almost anything if you're honest with people. It's the way that I was successful in sales. I will tell you what's good. I'll tell you what's bad. I'll tell you what I like. I'll tell you if I don't like the price, but it's worth it because of this. We just tell you honestly and people go, okay, well, that's a straight shooter. I'm going to make a good decision for myself. If you come out and try to sell me, Americans recognize sales tactics that are over aggressive. We don't want to go to a used car lot and have someone try to cram it down. We go, okay, that's too much. The Trump administration needs to refocus with a little bit of humility. And you can do that on January 1st is a great day to start. You're probably going to have to clean house. Some of these people are tainted. They've spent too much time on image. They've spent too much time on ego. You're going on podcasts to talk about who your girlfriend is, which I just saw Patel do last night, which was atrocious. It was just bad on every level.
Oh, everybody hates it right and left. Instead of, I'm going
to because you're lying to us. We know you're lying.
Instead of, I'm going to find out we're going to stop the Islamic terror. We're going to, or talk about how we found all these kids, or we're going to find the brown shooter. Oh, look at my girlfriend. She's so great. Like, this is literally, he's having the ego stroke, the super country star, whatever her name is. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It is sad. And we're not trying to be mean to Patel. He has something missing in his head to not realize how stupid this is.
The people that advise him are I know who advises him. The woman's name is Erica Knight, and I've spoken to her a number of times on the phone, and I know that she doesn't know much about national security, and theoretically she knows about PR, but the number one rule of PR, when you're in a hole, you stop digging. So put down the shovel. That's a great thing.
If you're explaining,
you're losing.
I totally agree. Let's say I wasn't a married man. I know my audience. If I paraded my girlfriend on here and talked about how great she was, people are like, what is this? We're tuning in to hear about events. We care about ourselves. We don't want to hear about your girlfriend. This is not like some, what is this?
This looks like a long form Katie Miller, who is the wife of Stephen Miller, the deputy chief of staff for the White House. This looks like an access-based official White House propaganda slop operation. And a lot of it was simply trying to claim the things that I say every morning, because I'm a little bit focused on the FBI. I think they're the thing that might kill me and my family. So I'm pretty serious about it. I think that this was an attempt to like push back against the stuff I said. And all they ended up doing, because I watched the Twitter comments, I watched the people who saw it in real time and went, this is crap. I watched the mainstream left media reach out to me and go, did you watch it yet? And I said, no, I'm putting it off. And they said, you might not want to watch it. It's not any good, to the point where my wife fell asleep, you know, two times in 40 minutes. It's not good. So go out and do work. The people who are doing the best work never have to tell you they're doing good work, because you can see it. The people that brief you on what a great job they're doing, those are the people that everybody naturally is suspicious of. That's what the Trump administration needs to pivot to. Do the thing that you said. You don't have to tell us you did it once you've done it. Well, no, we'll see it.
Absolutely. All right, Kyle Serafin, let me know when you can come back on soon, because there's so much other stuff we need to get to. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Alex.
We have a new product in at thealexshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, things are really coming to a head. Nick Fuentes is with us for the next hour and 50 minutes or so. Nick predicted a lot of problems with the new Trump administration, and a lot of those have come true. I think he did that to be mean. He did that to try to put pressure on him to do the right thing, because we need the Trump administration to succeed. But also, there's been so much great stuff that's been done on RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and the border, and that's escalated up. And now we see 2.5 million deported. But at the same time, the messaging, oh, the economy's great, inflation's over. No, it's not. You put in some policies that are starting to turn it around. And then Trump comes out and promotes the H-1B visas. That blows up in his face, so he backs off under criticism. You know, I mean, it's a good thing that we can see when we put pressure, we get a lot of course correction. But then you've got that mishandling the Epstein situation, and you've got all these other things that are going on. And then, you know, Rasmussen polling's the best. They warned Trump. He was starting to drop 6 months ago. He's now basically the lowest point in his 9 years off and on in office. And then you got the Trump worshipers that get mad at me when I say, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Look out. Then you got people mad at me saying just totally abandon Trump. And I'm like, oh, and then have the Democrats want to put me in prison? So it's like I'm in this lifeboat that's leaking. It's all I've got. So that's my paradox. I try to criticize Trump to get him to make the right decisions. I don't think he's playing 50D chess, you know, and he's God. It's very paradoxical, but he is set to address the nation, and I'll be covering it live tonight in a simulcast with Steve Bannon. He hasn't given me the exact times, but he's going on before, during, and after. So tonight we're doing a show. Just look for like 7:30 Central or so. Trump goes live at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. So look for that. And they've been very tight-lipped. We don't know what this is going to be if Trump comes out and does hours of all the great things they've done and cheerleading and it's the best economy ever and everything's fine, people want to be straight shot. Yeah, you've cut some energy prices. A few things have gotten better. A lot of great jobs being brought back, but it takes time. Don't do that. If he does that, I'm going to be even more concerned. Hopefully he just straight shoots people on a whole bunch of issues and rallies the public and says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And so I wanted to ask Nick Fuentes out of the gates, what does he think of this moment we're in? Because we have Susie Wiles in this TV interview, this Vanity Fair interview, and she said similar things in the TV interview, so I tend to think it's accurate, like shots at Elon Musk with him taking ketamine to relax and all these other statements, and she looks like she doesn't understand she's on TV. And then they take from that, well, is this the end of the Trump era? Well, I don't want it to be the end right now, but we should think about what comes after. So there's a lot there. This is an administration in crisis. And we're not saying that to join the Democrats and create a crisis. We're in a crisis. You called the crisis beforehand, and so I want to get into it. And then we've got all these other issues that we'll get into you with on Islam and what's the main threat to America and long-term what comes after Trump. Nick Fuentes, Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. Follow him on X as well. Nick, great to have you here with us today. And I know you've got your topics as well I want to get into, but first off, what is the state of the union right now? What does Trump need to do tonight versus what do you predict he does?
Well, I think the state of the union is very bad right now. When you look at what was promised in 2024, it was supposed to be a golden age, no new wars, close the border, all this sort of stuff. And I think everybody realizes at this point that that has not happened. And it doesn't even seem that the administration is trying very hard. And what's sad about it is it seems that the administration doesn't even know where to go after this. As you said, it is an objective fact. It's not subjective opinion. It's not blackpilling. The administration has its lowest approval since Trump got back into office. I think it's down to 39%. That's one of the lowest numbers we've had since the first term. And you see that the administration seems to not really know how to bounce back. And we talked about it shortly after the off-year election back in November. Trump administration is totally fumbling from one thing after the next, flopping around with the Epstein files. Then you have the Marjorie Taylor Greene leaving Congress. Now you have this post about Rob Reiner, who was brutally murdered at his home in Hollywood. And these are all things that not only are they not winning back the whole country, let's say like the middle or the coalition that propelled Trump into office in 24, but it's even losing Trump's most virile supporters, his biggest and loudest supporters, people like Marjorie Greene. Why is she not on the team? People that wanted transparency on Epstein files. Why are they not on the coalition? And, you know, stuff like that post on Truth Social. I don't know anybody that likes that. I don't know anybody that thinks that's acceptable. So
well, let's be clear.
The
administration, we love Trump attacking powerful globalists like Hillary, saying he'll be in prison. But it's an obvious no-brainer. I put a video out saying I was sad he was dead because I genuinely was, even though I didn't like Rob Reiner and he'd gotten me deplatformed and celebrated and been involved with Brennan doing it. I said he was still a talented guy. I'm sorry he's dead. But even from a cynical view, say something nice about a man and woman brutally murdered by their son. Like, it's the dumbest move. So you have to ask about a 79-year-old Trump. I don't think it's dementia. I don't think he's, you know, but regardless, he's making very bad decisions. I mean, that is just as a microcosm. What a crazy PR decision.
Well, he's floundering. He's floundering. And I think like we talked about last time, sadly, it seems like he has fully engaged the old playbook, which is that he's in trouble. He knows he's in trouble. The approval ratings are down. His base seems to be leaving him a little bit. And whenever that happens, he always doubles down on mean tweets, let's say as a category. Not necessarily a mean post on Twitter, although that is how it is expressed and how it manifests. But he doubles down on cruelty, culture war, laying into his enemies, ranting on television. And that used to be a playbook that worked, I think, back in the first administration or even in that first election in 2016. But now it seems like he sort of lost his touch. It's kind of tone deaf. Whereas at one time he was bringing that fight against, like you said, the globalists, somebody like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Who's he attacking now? Now it's anybody that wanted Epstein files. Now it's Marjorie Greene, who is one of his people, who is like one of the first MAGA congressmen that rode that wave.
She made that point yesterday. It's on record. She's right. He has all these Republicans in that vote against him, but they kiss his ass, and then she votes 98% of the time with him, but warns him, and then he turns on her and calls her a traitor. That is so stupid, and it hurt him bad in the polls. Like, that's dumb.
Exactly, and that's what's sad, is you have these policy failures, and I agree with you in many ways. It's a long 4 years. A lot of this stuff is complicated. Trump is trying. And you're right. It's not all bad. There are some things that are good that are going on. And I think that people might have patience for him to follow through. But the problem is he's reacting badly to the poll numbers, and it's making everything worse. It's compounding the failure. So you have a first year, which is pretty lackluster and disappointing. People get upset. In order to make people happy, he starts lashing out wildly, floundering with really no strategy. And if there is, not a very good one. And now people are accelerating their exit from the party. And so the question is, does Trump have the power inside of himself to make himself new again? Can he renew? Can he get on a solid footing? Or is this just going to be like a miserable long decline? Like,
he was good the first 6 months, and during the campaign last year and a half, he was really good at not being the reactionary, manipulated Trump. Now he's worse than ever. Jimmy Kimmel had no viewers. He talks about him, boosts his ratings, empowers him. What is Susie Wiles doing giving corporate media interviews to Vanity Fair? It's like they just don't get it. And so the old Trump that had problems but woke up, got better, now it's back to the old Trump but worse.
Yes, and that was a big part of my prediction last year, as I said, he just hasn't learned his lesson. Because the first administration, let's be honest, it's not what anybody really wanted. He didn't really deliver the victory. And what I wanted to see in 24 is, okay, you've had a go at it. You've been there for 4 years. You made your connections. Are you now going to be able to go in and govern better, govern effectively? And I remember during the campaign, I saw a lot of things that suggested, no, it's the same old Trump. And actually, maybe he's probably worse. So it has been a big disappointment, and I think it's even more disappointing because there's such a mandate. There's such an opportunity right now, and you hate to speak about it in these ways, but Charlie Kirk being assassinated, that was actually a political opportunity to get things done, to tackle the left, which is trying to kill and persecute our side. And so to not only not deliver on this historic mandate when you win the election, but also then to pass up opportunities. And again, you hate to speak about it in those terms, but this is politics.
Let me give you an example. Like 6-7 days after, they bring up Charlie. I know people behind the scenes said Trump was very upset, all of this. And they go to Trump and say, what about Charlie? And he goes, oh, never mind, look at the ballroom. And it was just like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, it's true. We are under attack. The left's saying kill us. He should make a bigger issue out of that. Exactly. He suddenly went from making a lot better moves during the campaign in the first 3 or 4 months to running out Elon, doing all this. Susie Wiles attacking Elon. Oh, he's a ketamine head. I mean, it's bad.
It is bad. And it seems like that whole approach just failed, because I like the Doge approach. I like the Elon Musk approach. I liked how they talked about operating, which is we're going to move quickly.
He had the highest ratings ever during that. And that made the Republican establishment scared. And somehow they manipulated him to kick him out. And then the people want to cheerlead Trump. Oh, you're a traitor. You're for Elon. I'm like, no, idiots. Elon is a freaking genius. We need him in there. And it's popular, you dumbasses.
Yeah, I think people loved it. People liked the idea of bringing that energy to the White House and actually disrupting. That's the whole point, is to drain the swamp, get rid of the deep state, actually shake things up. And you're right, I think that got too popular. Maybe too many people liked it. Or, you know, Elon wasn't playing the patronage system. He was going in there and firing people that were protected or felt like they were protected. And so they lashed out and said, no, no, you don't understand. That's not how things work around here. In D.C., everybody needs to get their back scratched. Everybody needs to get paid or whatever. And now we are back to that kind of sclerotic tempo that we had in the first term. And I think it'll be met with similar results. It's like we've been talking about. Midterms are next year. We almost certainly lose the House. We might even lose it earlier than that, sadly, you know, between now and New Year's Eve or in January. And then what do you do? Does it get better after we lose the House? I think it gets worse. So,
by the way, some listeners won't get that. If you have enough Republicans quit or leave, like MTG, they're already down to one or two. They don't vote. They've already lost the House technically.
Exactly, because it's a four-vote majority as of 24. They've had a number of people withdraw, and this is typically when people announce their retirement, is during the holiday season, on the off year. And so you're right, if they lose a few more seats, then they lose the majority, and then they can't govern even earlier, even before 26. And, you know, that's not really a glowing endorsement. This is supposed to be the golden age, and people are literally headed for the exits before the midterms even happen, before you even lose the election. So it's really
sad. All because
sad.
Trump and, literally slaps him around on TV. By the way, certain people have said, oh, MTG's not getting real threats. It's on record she has. I get threats. Scott tried to come and kill you earlier this year. And they're like, oh, she's making it up. No, I talked to her on the phone. And the police reports are there. They are under total assault right now. And she's literally, she's like, I'm not running for president. I'm done. She's like, I'm a successful businesswoman. I did my tour. You know, she's done. And people love MTG. I mean, that hurt Trump again. He probably lost 3-4 points doing that to her. Again, it's idiotic. And I'll say it, Trump, you're destroying yourself. We need you to succeed. God almighty.
It's really sad about Marjorie Greene. And you know what? People understand how she feels because we've all been on this train for 10 years. We've all been on this ride and we've all sacrificed a lot. The threats are real. The lawfare is real. Everything that has happened to you, to me, Marjorie, Tim Pool, all these people that have been under the gun. We've been fighting this battle for a very long time. And for Trump to get this opportunity, he's finally has like ultimate power, let's say, House, Senate, White House, popular vote, Supreme Court. He really has an opportunity to move and he's just blowing it. And on top of it, then going in and attacking the people that helped propel him into the office for demanding the Epstein files, for not wanting regime change in Iran, you know, the basic promises. And so you look at someone like Marjorie Greene, she goes, well, you know what? Then I'm out. I don't need to have my kids threatened. I don't need to have my family threatened to die. If we're all in this battle for a leader who's not really leading from the front, she goes, I don't need this. I'm out. And you sort of understand it. Now, I think that you really can't give up. I mean, and I think you and I are on the same page. You have to fight it through to the finish. I don't know that we'd be doing anything other than this.
Well, I was about to say, that's the paradox. We talked about the phone a few days ago. This isn't perfect. It's got problems, but the alternative, what do the Democrats do? They get back in. I mean, we got to talk about that. So there's got to be a way.
Right,
there's got to be a way to slap Trump around. Here's the question. Can he be reproved? Can we turn this around?
Honest answer, no, I don't think so. I feel like this is deja vu all over again. And I remember covering the first term until 2020 and saying, here's how Trump can still do it. We still have 1 year to do Section 230 or close the border, you know, whatever. I remember right up until the very end saying, here's how we could still get it together. And I think that it's him. Like, he is the problem. I think that he's not strategic. He doesn't have the follow through. His personality is toxic. I mean, we could cope and we can say, well, if we just push really hard on Twitter, if we just make some calls. Yeah, I mean, we could put pressure on the administration. That's really all we can do. And we have to do what we can. But what are the realistic chances we get Trump to snap out of it? He's an 80-year-old man. I think when you're 80 years old, you're kind of out of reinvention. I don't see a lot of people don't tend to change. They certainly don't change their ways at 80 years old. And especially when they're the king of America and no one can tell them no. So sadly, I think we're kind of just stuck with this and we have to just try to
use a full bore war with Venezuela as a distraction.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's doing, which is just straight out of House of Cards. I mean, it's like, that's
the
cynical play.
So let's talk about what a flailing Trump's going to do and the dangers of it.
So I think a flailing Trump, this is the war, you know, and there's been some sources that have said that he will announce a war with Venezuela tonight. This is just a classic. This is what you do. You get in trouble. You start what is considered to be a short-term, easy intervention, like George Bush in Desert Storm, or George Bush in Panama for that matter. You get an easy win, it's a slam dunk, and that helps you in the midterm. So I think he does something like that. And afterward, I don't know where he goes from here. I think he's just getting more and more bitter and angry. I think they might try. I think what they should do is a big push on their domestic agenda. I think they should try to use budget reconciliation
plus,
and get through.
But the polls show great in what we want. Even if he's doing domestic stuff, which he is, we need to hear about that more. Exactly.
Yes. And do what we elected you to do. Get a bill together that closes the border, It's law and order. We have to stop the crime in the cities. You know, an Irina Zarutska law, something like that. Do something about election fraud, paper ballots. I don't know. Get a domestic agenda together. Use budget reconciliation to the extent that you can, or one of these other deadlines, defense authorization, whatever, and get some legislation passed. At the end of the day, Trump has only passed 5 bills in his first year, 5 bills in the whole Congress. So there's just not a lot of governing that's happening. There's not a lot of policy. So if I'm Trump, I would say put down the phone, stop posting about Somalians and about Rob Reiner and all this other stuff, and actually govern, pass some executive orders, pass some legislation, actually create some policy. And then, like you said, make the case, talk about it, sell it to the American people, but they just have nothing to run on. You're going into the midterms with literally nothing to run on. I can't think of a single tangible victory, a policy-related victory, arguably other than closing the border. But that should have been a given. I mean, that should have been done a long time ago. So if I'm Trump, that's what I'm going
to
do.
What do you make of Wiles trying to put him back on the campaign trail? I think that's a really bad idea. It'll exhaust him, divert him more. We want action. We want policy. We want indictments. Real indictments, that makes us win. What do you really think about Susie Wiles?
I never liked her. And I don't think that her head is in the same place as Trump. I know a lot of people say she's not really the problem. Well, she's a lobbyist. She's a lobbyist from Florida, from this Ballard firm. She's in bed with all these other governments. And Florida is a swamp. I mean, it's a literal and figurative swamp. And by the way, she brought all these people in. These are all Florida people. Mike Waltz, who was fired for being in bed with Israel,
Bondi. He's
a Florida. Pam Bondi, exactly right. Rubio, who is pushing this war in Venezuela and then Cuba and then Nicaragua. These are all Florida people. Ratcliffe, I believe she brought in as well. I don't know that he's from Florida, but
just to be clear, you and I contextually, historically, under Thomas Jefferson, gunboat diplomacy, get hemispheric power. Technically, Trump can do this, but they're going to set him up, a new Vietnam, the CIA, they've already tried it, and they're doing it as a diversion. So that's why I'm saying they shouldn't do it.
Well, and not only that, but it is so much more ambitious than people realize. This is like a reverse domino theory where Rubio is like this guy. This is his presidential campaign material. He wants to be the guy that toppled Venezuela and then toppled Cuba and then toppled Nicaragua. As a Cuban American, his dream is like
and Mexico.
Right, the left-wing regime in Mexico, maybe even Lula while we're at in Brazil. His dream is to, like, defeat communism and leftism in the Caribbean and Latin America.
And I would support that if it could be done, but I've looked at the angles, and it's like, you're talking about multiple Vietnams here. And then the Russians are sneaking around. They may, the word is just like Cuba in 61, have nukes there.
Well, it's a jungle. It's a jungle. Venezuela's 30 million people, many cities. It's a jungle. Mexico's 130 million people. The Mexican government doesn't even have control over the country. Cuba's got special forces. Like, so I don't know that the American public is really ready to buy into this. Like, I don't even know what you would call this. Like you said, it's multiple Vietnams in the Caribbean. It's a much greater commitment than people actually are thinking about. And I don't know who voted for that. I think
it's a reverse Red Dawn. It's not Latin America with the Russians invading us. It's just invading them. And again, if Trump, I'd love to fix that if we had the CIA under control, but they're going to set him up for sure. I mean, I've already heard from sources of the Pentagon, the CIA is already leaking the attack plans to Nicolas Maduro. So we're walking into a trap. And people get confused by us because we're being academic saying we wish this was gone, but could it be done?
Well, that's the question. If you could wave a magic wand and have the entire Western Hemisphere align with Washington, of course, that would be in our best interest. And I would even support engagement with these countries to that end. But the question is regime change the way to go? Are you actually going to get the kind of order that you want, or are you going to get guerrilla warfare with drug cartels and Indians shooting at you from the jungle? Are you going to get narco-terrorism? Are you going to get something that is a lot more far-reaching than what you bargained for? And the record of history is that these kinds of coups and regime change, it doesn't actually work most of the time.
That's the key, is that these groups only have the drugs and things they're doing. There's no government, so you can't even come in and take them over. They're going to have to continue and fight you because it's all they have.
Exactly. What is the parallel structure? Okay, you remove Maduro. Now who's going to rule Venezuela? We're going to be setting up another nation building thing like we did in Iraq. Just not a good idea. And, it'll fail, you know, should have kept their promises.
Well, yeah, I was on the fence, but I had my concerns that Flynn came on 2 weeks ago. And he said, don't do it. It's a setup. Nick Fuentes is on fire. We're going to come right back. We got so many huge other topics to cover, and I have things I disagree with him on. Stay with us.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support for so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right. I got a bunch of questions for Nick Fuentes. Big topics. really important stuff. That was a great first 25 minutes. And I was jumping in a lot because what he was saying I totally agree with. But I want to just give you 10 minutes on me shutting up here to finish up on Venezuela, what you think Trump should say at this address tonight versus what you think he's going to say. It's not even a prediction, but what you predict or your dead reckoning. And then I want to move into what will it look like if Trump fails and what do you think we should expect? And then how do we move on from Trump if we're entering the post-Trump era if this continues? And what is your advice to the American people, the people of the world? Then I want to look at the rise of Islam. I'm going to look at where Israel's going and so much more with Nick J. Fuentes. Nick, please continue.
Yeah, so picking up on Venezuela, we have this address tonight. I think, like you said, it's at 8 o'clock Central. And I don't know exactly what he's going to say. Like you said, they've been pretty tight-lipped about it. I saw on Judge Napolitano, Tucker was just a guest on that show this morning, and he said he was told by a member of Congress it's going to be a declaration of war. And at the minimum, that's going to be a part of the address, and we're going to war with Venezuela. And, you know, that would track because, of course, this has been escalating over the past few weeks. Most recent development is that Trump has effectively declared a blockade of Venezuela, or at least an oil blockade. He said over the weekend that the United States will interdict all oil shipments that are leaving Venezuela, and most of those are going to China. About 80% of Venezuela's crude is going to China. And this follows up from the seizure of the oil tanker last week. So he seized an oil tanker. Presumably we're going to take the oil. This weekend he said that actually all of the oil exports will be shut down, and that effectively destroys Venezuela's economy. And as we talked about with Iran, other conflicts, this is that maximum pressure strategy, and this is just the latest escalation. So it would be fitting if tonight there was some declaration of ground strikes, let's say. This is something they've been talking about for a long time. They've assembled this armada, this giant naval force. It's a carrier strike group. I think it's 10 warships in total, 10,000 troops, F-35 squadrons. They have been stationing in Trinidad and Tobago and Puerto Rico off the coast. And they've been threatening for a long time that all of these naval strikes, I think there's been about 25 maritime strikes against these little drug boats, killed nearly 100 people. They've been saying for a long time that eventually that will progress into targeted airstrikes on the ground at military facilities, airports, where there's drug trafficking happening, and they're actually going to bomb Venezuela's territory. Maduro's been preparing for that. They've been shutting down highways. They have been getting ready. So it seems that that would be logical that Trump would announce there would be some major action tonight. That being said, you sort of alluded to this earlier. You said it could just be an hour of Trump bragging about his accomplishments. And I think it's totally possible that it could also just be a load of crap. Because how many fake outs have there been this year where Trump says, I have an Oval Office address. I'm addressing the public from the White House at noon tomorrow. And he gets up and it's like, we have the greatest economy. The stock market is back. Inflation isn't real. Affordability is not real. So I'm sort of 50-50. 50% chance it could be a load of crap and it's just a lot of self-aggrandizement. 50% chance it could be a declaration of war on Venezuela. And then how it progresses, if I had to guess, I would think that this is just ratcheting up the maximum pressure. And maybe this is, this is just a shot in the dark. I don't know that he's announcing a swift operation to capture Maduro or invade the country. I don't think there will even be an invasion, strictly speaking. They have about 10,000 personnel stationed off the coast. It could be the case that they have, put together a larger force covertly somewhere else. That's not enough people to invade Venezuela. You had 20,000 invade Panama, and that's a country that's a fraction of the size, fraction of the population, smaller military. So I don't think you're going to get a full-fledged invasion with that size of a force. I think what you might get is a tightening of the noose, and they're going to choke Venezuela off more. So they have the blockade. Now if they start initiating ground strikes, maybe there's some other covert actions by the CIA, which they announced earlier in the year would be operating in the country. Maybe they're looking at something more limited just to increase the pressure slightly more. And maybe that's the play. Now, will that succeed? I guess it depends largely on how they carry this out and how competent the military is. I don't have very high hopes for it. I don't think that, you know, the military is really prepared for something like this. It came together very quickly. Military's not been extremely effective in the past so many years. You know, they're really good at dropping bombs from aircraft like they did against ISIS and like they did against Iran. But a ground operation, I feel like we haven't seen anything like that in a very long time. So the odds of success, I don't know that it's particularly high. And I don't know that that's even something the American public is looking for. Like we talked about in the previous segment, as always, this is the appeal to the voters before the midterms. If you're struggling on your domestic agenda, if you're flailing because of a domestic scandal, you always go for a quick and easy war. Like we talked about with George Bush in Persian Gulf or in Panama where they did regime change. Or even in Grenada with Reagan. You always go for a quick and easy layup, makes Americans feel confident. I don't know that that will even have the same effect. First of all, we don't know that it will be entirely successful or on what timeline or if there will be any kinds of complications. Secondly, is this really what the people voted for? I think the people voted for lower prices. People voted actually to end wars, not start new ones. I don't know that regime change was really part of the mix. I think actually we want the opposite. People voted for an end to free trade, something like tariffs or a more protectionist agenda, and we're just not succeeding on any of those fronts. So I don't know how you bring that to Republican or Democrat voters as some sort of huge victory in 2026, especially when almost everything else is looking really bad. The deportations aren't happening, as we've talked about. Economy's not where it needs to be. Many people are predicting potentially an imminent recession, a housing bust, the AI bubble might burst, have a lot of red flags and early warning indicators in the economy. So how much is that even going to move the needle? I'm skeptical that that's going to have a big impact. So this is the playbook. I think that if Trump really wanted to have any kind of recovery before the midterm elections or at all, I think you have to refocus on the domestic agenda. That is what people want to see solved. You got to get those deportation numbers up. You got to build a border wall. You got to end the war in Ukraine somehow, some way. You have to end the war in Gaza. It looks like even that is coming apart. You need to fix the economy. You need to do something domestically. Get a super bill together. Get an omnibus bill together. Use budget reconciliation, which they have for the fiscal year 2026. Use national defense authorization or whatever you need to do. Use one of those measures to get a super bill passed. Get Republicans and Democrats together and just pass something. Make life better for Americans. But I fear, and this is something you pointed out too, not only will that not happen, it may actually even get worse. Because as you said, according to Susie Wiles in an interview this weekend, she's going to have Trump campaigning in 26 like he was in 24. And a lot of people don't think about this, but the president of the United States, like anybody, only has so many hours in the day. And so if we're going to engage in this huge campaign in 26, Trump is going to be flying around doing rallies. The guy's 80 years old. You can't be doing four rallies in a day like you were doing in 2020. And if you do, you're not going to have time and energy for literally anything else.
And that's perfect for the deep state to come in and sneak stuff past him. I noticed Wiles 3 days ago in a TV interview says he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be back on the campaign trail. Then I see him yesterday. Well, I just heard I'm going to be on the campaign trail. He's literally admitting that she's directing him.
Which is so gross. The whole point of Trump is that he's supposed to be the boss. Who is Susie Wiles? Nobody elected her. She's a lobbyist from Florida. And you're right. He goes, yeah, well, I guess I'm going to be campaigning. She's the boss. And you make a good point. If Trump is out there on the campaign trail, first of all, he's already falling asleep in every meeting. And which is, you know, look, the guy's an old man. I think everybody would understand that. But now you can't be doing both of those things. You can't walk and chew gum at the same time then. If he's going to be running around the country, if Susie Wiles is going to be running him ragged, not only can he not focus on the agenda, but you're right. This is where he loses control of the White House, which is always the concern that the cabinet members, that the lobbyists, that the special interests, when Trump is out of the house, when daddy's not home, other people are going to go in the White House and they're going to be manipulating personnel. They're going to be manipulating policy. And so let's say, for example, Netanyahu is pushing Trump really hard on a war with Iran. And Trump, to his credit, put his foot down and said no for many months. And even when they wanted him to intervene in June, it was very limited. I'm not happy that he bombed Iran, but it could have been a lot worse. And that is just objectively true. And that's because Trump is in the driver's seat and he's got some people that are backing him up. If he's out there falling asleep on the campaign trail in Georgia or Pennsylvania or whatever, they're going to get stuff past the goalie. They're going to get things through because he's not going to be fully in control.
Well, and look at the psychology. They know he wants to win. And so they'll say, sir, we've got to do this. And yeah, it helps a little, but nothing compared to actual developments and things. And we know that they're always trying to hide things from him. This is like we saw in the first administration. So I'm going to say it right now. Trump. Yeah. Okay. Go for Mike Lindell for governor of Minnesota, stuff like that. Pick and choose a few, but maybe do 3 or 4 events a month. But what we really want is action, and you address the American people. And you bring out these issues. We'll give your advice, President Trump, because this is such an obvious trap. You see her power trip in the interview. I know you've seen it. People have it. We should play it. We can dig it up. She's like, well, they don't know it yet. Doesn't know it yet, but he's going back on the campaign trail. Ha, ha. And Trump's like, well, I guess it's important. I guess I'm told I'm going. Again, this is outrageous. No, that is not the interest of his time. It's great to have crowds out there. It's fun, all that. No, we need him engaged. We need him not worried about what Jimmy Kimmel is saying with no ratings or what Vanity Fair is saying. But again, it's nothing against it. There's all these 79-year-old people like Trump and Wiles. They still think ABC News is important. They don't understand. They go look at the ratings and go, ABC Nightly News, 2 million viewers. Nick Fuentes has a nightly show, 20 million viewers. We went on Elon Musk's show. 1 billion people tuned in. It got picked up everywhere. And then Trump only went on Elon one time. Like, I was like, it's total idiocy. But it's because they still think cable TV is king.
That's a really good observation that a lot of people don't realize, because it is like a boomer thing. Trump being from television world and being 80 years old, you're exactly right. He actually still cares about what the New York Times writes about him. He actually still cares about what network television is reporting on. And you're right. Television as a whole is not powerful anymore. It's all online. It's all digital. And at the minimum, that's where the young people are. That's where the coveted demographic is. That 18 to 35 demographic, they're all getting their news on TikTok. They're all getting their news on X. They're all getting their news on YouTube, on the internet. And you're right. They're still getting attacked by like 60 Minutes or like CBS News,
ABC. And responding back. Like, Trump, I'm going to sue you. And those shows are only big when he goes on them. So the only time dinosaur media is big is when it's online. He doesn't understand that.
No, and sadly, Charlie Kirk is the one that did understand that. Charlie Kirk, to his credit, delivered the young people for Trump in 24 because he was on TikTok, because he made a deal. And unlike the Republicans that sort of turned their noses up at it, he was there and fought the culture war among the young people. And that's the next generation. Trump was like, oh no, I have to go and interview with like Barbara Walters or something. I have to go on like 60 Minutes and I care about what the New York Times says. He still deeply cares about the mainstream media and Hollywood. He wants to be their champion. And so if I'm him, I say you got to go hard and fast. There is urgency. You have to be swift. You have to outmaneuver and have a faster tempo than the deep state. And you need to focus on the things that are going to win the voters back. Specifically the young people. And that's things like affordability. It's crime. It's ending the wars. And if you're out there running this campaign, it's unfortunately the prophecy that I gave last year, which is you actually don't have the full 4 years. You're going to have like realistically about maybe 15, 18 months, and then they're going to start campaigning for the midterms. They're going to be so busy, then they're going to lose, and then everyone's going to be campaigning for 2028, and half the cabinet will be in that position. Then you're in 28, and it's like, so you never actually get a chance to govern. And this is my problem. It's like when we vote every year, are we going to get 4 years of Trump pushing hard, trying to get victories? Are we going to get like 3 months of executive orders and then like 3 years and 9 months of crap where they're like campaigning and trying to make everybody happy and they're listening to the donors and they're just kind of sitting on their hands, stalling, running out the clock, because that is exactly what happened in the first term. And sadly, it, like I said, is deja vu all over again. So I think that you're right. Trump should maybe pick a few critical races where he can make a difference. And those are the races that'll make a difference for him. He should maybe do one event per week, keep his schedule light, and he should really overclock the White House like they did in the first 3 months. I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed.
Oh, we had the globalist like off balance, the highest approval rating ever, magic, and then they convinced him to get rid of Elon. So the second hour is coming up, and you've got other topics you want to hit. But just briefly, what future do you see, though, if Trump messes this up, and then the Democrats don't just win the midterms and turn it all around about impeachment? What happens in 2028 when they get back in? Because they've said they're coming after everybody.
If the Democrats win, it's just over, you know, because, and this is the thing about the pendulum swinging back and forth. We elected Trump the first time and he failed. He failed. He totally crapped the bed. Biden gets in, and what is the first thing Biden did after that? J6, arrest everybody. We're going to hire 1,000 FBI agents, 1,000 judges. We're going to go for, what did they say? They said it was going to be shock and awe against the e-celebrities, against the influencers, against the Trump lieutenants, and they crushed everybody. Rudy Giuliani and you and me and everybody, they crushed everybody. And then they went in with the COVID stimulus, and they only gave it to their allies, women and non-white people. They said white men need not apply for the COVID stimulus. And then they came in with the vax. So we're going to get a redux of that. And just like how Trump has escalated, the Democrats will escalate. When they get back in, it's going to make the first Biden term look like a joke. When Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or whoever wins, they are coming after us so hard. And here's the difference. They know how to use the government. We do not. Their allies run Washington. Washington is like 95% Democrat. All the career political people, all the lifers, they're all liberal Democrats. They're all gay. They're all women. They're all like, you know, PMC types, college educated. When they get back in power, unlike the Trump administration, they are going to move like a hot knife through butter when they go after us, just as they did under Biden. And so it's going to be a full war on guns. It's going to be a full war on free speech, on social media. It's going to be a full war on the radical right. I imagine they're going to throw open the border to some extent. How much repair are they going to do after Trump has sent all the refugees back and, you know, changed immigration law? They're going to say, oh, well, we're open for business all over again. So I think that it's going to be fire and fury against the right wing and especially against Trump. And this time he's not going to pardon anybody just like last time. Maybe he'll pardon himself preemptively. He'll pardon his people. He'll get a golden parachute. The rest of us, we are screwed. And this is why I said on Tucker and on other shows, you can't take the fight to the left and not finish it. When you go at the king, you can't miss, because if you miss, the king cuts your head off. Like, and that's obvious. You go for the king, you can't miss, because if you fail, you stumble. They call down the guards and you get executed. Your whole family gets executed. They burn down your village. And that's really what Trump has done now for the second time. He's going for the seat of power, going for the permanent bureaucracy, going for the left, whatever you want to call it, really hard. And he's, you know, attacking them so viciously on social media, talking all this trash. And in the end, all he does is piss them off. All he does is make them angry, such that when they inevitably get back in power, they're going to attack us with a vengeance. And he's doing it all over again. And by the way,
so what's the way out of this?
We have to win. And we just have to win. There's no substitute for victory. Trump has to turn it around. And if he can't, then we need somebody in 2028. Everybody is ready to coronate Vance. Everybody is ready to cry. And I know you like him and other people like him, but everybody's saying like, oh, well, Vance is going to be the next president. It's not a negotiation. We need somebody in 28 who's going to carry the mantle of Trumpism, win and finish it. Like Caesar, like the Republic is over. This is the American Empire.
Sure, well, people Democrats don't seem to get it. They go, wait, Nick supported Trump 10 years ago and up until like 5 years ago. But now he's not. So how is he wants Trump to succeed? You want him policy-wise to succeed, but you didn't support him to draw attention to what you thought were the problems so that you would hope you would succeed. If I put words in your mouth, correct me. And so that's kind of how I see this. But we have to have an ultimate urgency right now. 1 year into this, folks, I agree with what Nick's saying, regardless, to look at how much danger we're in. And if Trump doesn't succeed, J.D. Vance, doesn't matter how good a candidate he is or what a nice guy he is, they're just going to engage in election fraud and remove him.
Yep, and they did it in 2020, and they're not, haven't done anything to fix it. And here's another thing. The next president will preside over the 2030 census. Whenever the next president gets in, you're going to have a census in 2030. And for people that don't know what that means, you don't just count up all the people. You then also apportion the congressional seats, the electoral votes. So whoever the next president is going to be extremely powerful, because then they're going to preside over that. Like right now, they're battling this out in Texas and California, this redistricting halfway through the decade. Whoever is president is going to get another shot at that in 2030. And then they'll determine for the following 5 or 10 years how many seats there are, how many electoral votes there are. So it does really come down to 28, and somebody needs to get in who's extremely bold and takes risks. And urgency is the word. We just don't have time for like an incremental approach. And people are just negotiating with themselves, saying, well, that's not practical. That's not realistic. Well, we have to have reasonable expectations. No, I have unreasonable expectations. I'm unreasonable. And we want more. The base, America First, InfoWars, MAGA, like we want more than what we're getting.
Gone, demanding our sons and daughters be brainwashed for transgenderism and leftist brainwashing. They demanded all this insane stuff. People gave it to them. We're just demanding common sense, liberty, and freedom, but we have to get aggressive. So I think it does go to the average populist, American First person, conservative, needs to realize this is existential. What should they be doing?
I think people should be getting involved. I'm a huge believer in, we need a like professional class. We need people that have gone to college. We need people that have professional jobs, and we need people to get involved in the party. We need people to run for office. Isn't it such a sad state that you look at the House of Representatives and the Senate, and it appears basically untouched by the Trump revolution? Trump won in 2016. It is now 2026 in a couple of weeks. You don't have literally one congressman that is MAGA. You don't have one senator that is MAGA, because everyone that did exist is now gone. Matt Gaetz, Madison Cawthorn, Marjorie Greene, they're all gone. Lindsey Graham is going to have another term. John Thune is going to be the majority leader. Kevin McCarthy, Mike Johnson, like these have been the leadership in the House. You don't even have one. You have 435 members, and you don't even have one MAGA Republican. So I really believe there's been a failure on the part of the America First base to get organized. There's a lot of talk about doing that, think tanks and candidates and all this stuff, and it just never materialized. And so who inherits the Republican Party after Trump leaves? Well, it's going to be the usual suspects. Who's going to run? I mean, J.D. Vance, of course, Marco Rubio, who ran the first time. What are going to be the big think tanks? Heritage Foundation, Club for Growth, Chamber of Commerce. Like, this is still where the money is coming from. So I think that for people that are animated by this, they got to get involved in politics.
Totally agree. We're basically Rome in like 406. And people ask, Rome still had all the power, the military, but they had these elites that were corrupt, couldn't face a problem, brought in too many illegals. All of it, and then they just couldn't organize at the end because it was just business as usual, and Rome fell in 410. I think 2028 is the number. Each election just gets more important here on after, but we're basically already dead if there isn't a sense of urgency. And I that's why I get invited to Mar-a-Lago in the White House, and I'm not trying to act cool. It's just, I'm like, okay, what's the thing? I'm in a dinner with 20 people and Trump. I'm like, nah, I'm not going. I don't want to sit there at my own funeral. Like, I'm on the Titanic and the iceberg's 5 miles out. I'm like, can we change course? You can't. Just the captain's going to tell you how great you are and eat some caviar. And I'm like, I don't want to eat caviar. I want him to get control of the wheel and avoid that iceberg. We'll be right back in 2 minutes with Nick Fuentes. Hour number 4, straight ahead. Challenge. challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
I'm a rolling stone, all alone and lost, for a life of sin.
There's so much to hit. We're going to get into the Islamic Jihad that's been declared, how big a threat it is. Is it just a diversion from Israel? We're going to get into Candace Owens, who I like as a person, but I was forced to go investigate the stuff she was saying and doing, and I just didn't have to bring it to you. And Nick's got some stuff to talk about with that. But he wanted to briefly, and I think it's really important, and if he has more, we'll go to the next segment, on Brown University in Rhode Island and what's going on there. I don't know what the cover-up is, but clearly the cover-up's going on. Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, I saw this. Obviously, everybody saw it, this horrible mass shooting at Brown University. And, of course, I haven't talked about it on my show too much because we really don't know what happened there. We don't know who the shooter is. We don't know their identity, motivation, anything like that. But the one thing that I saw that I covered on my show is, what is this response from the FBI? I see there's videos being uploaded of this FBI manhunt that's underway, and they got like a couple of dozen FBI agents out there literally kicking the snow around with their feet, with their hands in their pocket. And I saw that, and, you know, we've talked a lot about the Trump administration and where we'd like it to improve and where they're falling short and so on. And I said on my show the other night, I think the biggest area where they're falling short is, where is the competence? It reminds me of when they did that military parade back in June, and they had people marching in the parade holding drones up over their head, not even flying them with the actual remote control, flying through the air electronically, but holding them up in their hand, walking down the street. That was your big military demonstration. Department of War, America's back. Then you get this FBI. First they blow the Charlie Kirk investigation. Now you have this mass shooter who's just gotten away. School shooter just got away, went into some building, shot a bunch of people in the face, literally walks away. They go, okay, well, rest assured, Kash Patel is on the case. The FBI is out there. We're going to do some good old-fashioned investigative reporting, or investigation, criminal investigation for that matter. They send out these FBI agents in the windbreakers, kicking the snow around. There's like 20 of them in a group, and they're kind of like walking around, looking up at the air, looking down at the ground. You're like, this is the same FBI of J. Edgar Hoover? This is the FBI of the United States of America? This is federal law enforcement? What is this? And so I think that's one of the greater disappointments, that It's just a clown show. And I'm just sitting here like, are other people watching the same movie, and what a joke the country has become, what a joke the federal government has become? At the same time, by the way, this is the same FBI that when we did the January 6th Capitol protests, these are people showing up at people's houses at 6 a.m., marching them out of their bedroom, throwing them in jail because they trespassed. You had some like grandma, you had some, you know, MAGA mom who was posting on Facebook, and they had people being marched into solitary confinement over this. Same FBI, by the way. Now you have somebody, it's a school shooter, somebody shoots Charlie Kirk in the neck, they can't even find the person. So I saw that. I don't know what to say about the shooting itself. We don't really have any information. That's sort of the point. We haven't gotten to the bottom of it. But I'm seeing these videos and I'm thinking that's really the story by itself. This is a country now where school shooters are getting away with it. In 30, 40 years, your neighbor might be a school shooter that got away with it. You know, you've heard of like, oh, my neighbor was a serial killer and I never knew. My neighbor was a gangster and I never knew that. Now it's going to be my neighbor committed a school shooting, a mass murder, somehow got away with it. That's the country now. So, but that's anarcho-tyranny. That's the state of the country when you have a state of tyranny for law-abiding people, a state of tyranny, Orwellian surveillance, police state, totalitarianism for a MAGA mom, for a grandma in the Capitol.
Yeah, that's
for
how real communism or totalitarianism works is good people are oppressed, bad people are turned loose because they work for the state, and that's where we are.
Right. So I'd like to see that reversed. I want to see tyranny for the criminals and illegals and globalists and lobbyists. And I want to see freedom and anarchy for law-abiding people, taxpayers, patriots, Christians. But we're not getting it. So that's more of the same. I'd like to see somebody get caught in this thing.
60-second break, but wait till you hear this. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Got it. Mr. Spacer coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Well, Nick's been talking about this for months, so have I, that we understand Trump has constitutional right. It's in our hemisphere. Venezuela has manipulated things to go in, but that's academically, technically, we've said don't go in because the CIA and others will set you up in a quagmire, and Rubio wants Cuba, Mexico, all of it, Colombia. And that's a lot to bite off there because they're already failed states. So then we own it, even if we, you know, the leadership leaves. Well, Tucker Carlson, say what you want about him. He's got incredible sources. I know Nick's had his run-ins with him. I love Tucker, but I think you can put it in the bank if he said it. Though sometimes Trump may decide to pull back because of this. It's like 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Bongino resigning by Christmas from the sources of Serafin. That would prove to be incredible. But then Serafin's like, last night on the show, he goes, his special show, he goes, well, maybe he won't resign right away just to make us look wrong. Well, fine. If we stop a war, by getting them to jump the gun, fine. So here's a story on InfoWars.com. Breaking, Tucker Carlson says member of Congress told him Trump to announce war on Venezuela during tonight's presidential address. So, wow. And here he is on Judge Andrew Napolitano's show just about an hour ago.
is Trump going to start a war in Venezuela?
He already did.
I don't know. I don't know when this program airs, the one that we're on right now. This thing's going to be live.
Well, we're live now, and then okay. It'll be posted immediately. So right
so
now.
So my sense is, I don't know the answer. I've certainly been on the phone a lot about it. I have no power. I'm a podcaster, but I'm very interested. And so here's what I know so far, which is that members of Congress were briefed yesterday that a war is coming, and it'll be announced in the address to the nation tonight at 9 o'clock by the president. Who knows, by the way, if that will actually happen? I don't know. And I never want to overstate what I know, which is pretty limited in general, but, a member of Congress told me that this morning. So that's what I know. My opposition to this, and I'm sure if you oppose this, they'll be like, oh, you're a communist, which I'm not. My opposition to it comes from what I've learned from watching closely for the past 25 years since I've been assigned to cover all these stories, including, you know, in Iraq, Afghanistan. Like, I've watched, and there's not been a regime change effort that's benefited the United States or the world in 80 years that I'm aware of.
Well, that's the big thing, is the trillions and trillions per regime change. It's always a black hole. So we already covered this earlier, but I mean, I think there is a good chance he'll definitely brag about we're blocking them, all their ships. I think you're right. I think he'll announce we're at war with them, but then just use that as the pressure to have Maduro leave.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's an invasion. I don't think it's going to be a shock and awe. I think it'll be ground strikes, more pressure, maybe a new policy. And you're right. It'll be some, perhaps an ultimatum to get Maduro to resign, because I think that ultimately they don't really want to go to war there. I think they want to get Maduro out through pressure only. So I agree with you. I think that's where it's headed.
But they don't have three aircraft carriers there for no reason.
Well, but do they have three? I think they just have the carrier strike group. But this is a classic Trump strategy. He did this in North Korea too. Back in 2017, they deployed actually two carrier strike groups to the Sea of Japan and talked about fire and fury, and my button is bigger and it works, and if we're going to do things to you. This is brinksmanship. And I think that this is your typical gunboat diplomacy, which is you literally put a giant gunship off the coast of a country, you start blowing stuff up, and then you say, this is the United States of America. You have 24 hours to leave. So you're right. I mean, there is a reason they have the warships there, and that is for a demonstration of force. It's a gesture which reinforces deterrence. Deterrence is really the foundation of everything. Wars are only fought because of miscalculations. And the point of doing a carrier strike group is to say, we have the assets, we're willing to use the assets, and if we do that, then you lose. There's no scenario where you win, it is over, so surrender or die. And that's where someone like Maduro in Venezuela says, all right, uncle, you can, you will, I guess I'll just take my deal and leave. So I think that's really the play there. I still think that there's going to be kinetic action. I think there's a good possibility of ground strikes. It will definitely escalate. But I don't think this is going to be some sort of full scale.
Absolutely. Just to be clear, they had two aircraft carriers there. They pulled them out, put the Gerald Ford, the biggest and newest, in. And they have five or six of the big amphibious Marine and Navy smaller carriers. But just technically, there's a lot of ships there.
Yeah, it's the biggest force posture in the Caribbean ever, I think, is what they said. It's more warships that have ever been deployed in that, in the Southern Command, field of command than ever in the United States. So, and Trump has said that on True Social. So, I mean, you're certainly right. It's a massive force posture, and it's definitely going to be used for something military. I just don't think it'll be a full-scale ground invasion. That's just not enough assets, actually. I don't think they have enough personnel for something like that, because the chain of command is dispersed. If they're going to do a kind of effects-based operation, they're going to go for command and control. You're talking about invading multiple cities. You're talking about jungle terrain, huge population. You need more than 20,000 troops, or they have 12,000.
You need 20,000 administrators to take over Venezuela. It's the size of
exactly.
Texas.
Exactly. So that's not an invasion force, but I think there could be there's a possibility of kinetic strikes on the ground, even though there might not be an invasion.
All right, shifting gears. I watch your show a lot. You mainly cover policy and issues, so do I. But the whole soap opera that's begun with you with Tucker and then back and forth, that's kind of blown over. Candace Owens, the ongoing thing. I like Candace. And just all the other stuff that's happening. And it seems like everybody else does it now instead of, because I don't think they have depth. I don't mean her. I mean some of the other talk shows to do it. I just want to have a fight with somebody. But I went and examined throughout since Kirk was killed on September 10th, so many of the claims, not of Candace, but I'm not trying to kiss her ass. Just like, when I talk about the claims, most of us other people, of, oh, a guy shoots him under the arm, or, oh, it's a camera gun, and it's a bottle of water, you can see it. And then just on and on and on, and now it turned into the French and the U.S. military and the Israelis and the Egyptians and the, and she's like, I've got these planes and I've got the proof. And then multiple groups, you see it online, went and bought the data, even more data that's public. It meshes with it. Anybody can duplicate it. And most of the time, you know, she was saying these planes were here. It was actually overseas, and they were another continent. So I was learning all this last week, finally forcing myself to do the deep dive on it. And when I learned days before people knew about it that they were going to meet in Nashville a couple days ago about this on Monday, I said, I bet Candace comes out and is wants to, you know, be friendly now, kind of have the cake and eat it too here, because I knew they were going there in a 4.5 hour meeting, I know it'll be that long, to say, here's all this information. You know, the claims that, oh, just asking questions, but, oh, they're all stealing all the money, or, oh, you know, I'm not saying Erica Kirk did it, but, boy, they all sure wanted him dead. And so my issue is that it's so destructive, and it became this huge soap opera where I'm at the grocery store and I'm, you know, anywhere. People are coming up asking me about it, and I'm like, I don't know. I know most of the stuff I looked at from other people saying stuff didn't turn out to be true, and I know now the last straw for me last week was Tyler Robinson in court with the trans flag tie. Find that B-roll, and he just, you're watching him, and he looks like Jeffrey Dahmer, and he's turning around. He's all proud of himself. You know, he's laughing. The leftist lawyers love him. He had at least 10 people that said he's going to be dead, you know, in the next few days. And so I did confirm Cash Patel said no investigation into that. So there is some type of cover-up going, but I don't know of what. But the idea, knowing the TPUSA people, a lot of them for a decade, I know how intelligence operations work. You don't include all these people killing him. We heard, oh, they killed him on the stage, the lapel mic, a pop-up deal, a guy in front of him, a guy behind him. You know, then it was airplanes and this and that. And so it's just not the way the world works. And so I saw all of this so destructive, definitely hurt Trump in the polls. And then I just wonder where all this is going. And then I wonder if we're ever going to get any real answers. And I know you've been a critic of Candace Owens. I just know in one issue, there's like a soap opera that can't be answered because there is questions, but then it's just this endless factory of never getting to the answers. What do you think of this whole fiasco?
Well, I think she's an amateur conspiracy theorist. I think that she's somebody who, for many years, she had other people writing her script for her. She had Ben Shapiro writing her script. She had Charlie Kirk writing her script. And it was easy enough to go and say that black people are going to vote Republican for Blexit and whatever she was supposed to say at Daily Wire. Now that she writes her own script and she sort of glommed on to this conspiracy stuff, it's like you say, she really doesn't know how to create a theory, a conjecture, a postulate. She doesn't know how those things work. And you're right. If there's going to be some sort of grand conspiracy, you compartmentalize it. You don't get 2,000 people in a room from France, Israel, Egypt, the admin, this and that law enforcement agency and Turning Point and say, all right, everybody, so we're going to plant the explosive microphone and then we're going to do this and then we're going to, you compartmentalize it. And you probably have a handful of people on a need to know basis. And maybe it's one faction of one intel agency. That's typically how these things unfold. But this is a person who is really just looking at anything based on other heuristics, like, well, Charlie wanted to audit Turning Point. So it's a cover up of a money thing. And, oh, there was some foreign people with foreign phones in the audience. So it was a foreign intelligence conspiracy. And just kind of going based on things that we've seen in the past, similar patterns. putting them all together into, I don't even know what the theory is at this point. And it's like you say.
False pattern recognition. But you're almost being too kind here. There was a sophistication, whoever, I think she is having somebody advise her, the sophistication, kind of the Q 2.0 esoteric Gnostic level of it, or maybe she's just, herself has some delusions, and so maybe she was projecting that on, but I didn't see some genius there.
Well, she's certainly good at what she does. It is a soap opera, and it's a serial. Every day we're going to check in and hear about the crazy new thing. And you're right, there is something maybe sophisticated and Gnostic about it. I look at this guy who's been supporting her, John Mappin. I don't know why nobody's talking about John Mappin, the Scientologist, the heir to the jeweler that creates the crown jewels for the British royal family. He allegedly introduced her and her husband. He's been so supportive. She retweets him. He's writing letters to her. He was best friends with Charlie Kirk. His wife is from Russia. I don't know why nobody's talking about that guy. No one's talking about George Farmer. They all met through Turning Point UK. So you have Turning Point USA. She met her husband through Turning Point UK. She made a bag off of Turning Point USA and Turning Point UK. So there's definitely something suspicious going on there. Maybe a foreign intelligence play of its own. Talking about the French and the French president and the French president's wife and France's involvement in this. So there could be some sophistication there. And I would say to the extent that there is a conspiracy, no one's talking about the Mormon mafia. I don't believe that there's some grand conspiracy to kill Charlie Kirk. I think, like you say, it's Tyler Robinson. And when you saw him make his court appearance, he's wearing a trans tie. And why would he be the patsy? If they're supposed to be, if this is about Israel or some other thing, why do you pick some hick lib, white guy, pro-trans activist? Why would he be the patsy? And where are his parents? Where are the people like trying to defend him? It doesn't even make any sense. To the extent that there is a cover-up, it would be about the Mormon mafia because the killing happened in Utah. Turning Point is a Mormon organization. It's Utah Public Safety that's doing the investigation. I never even heard of that on her show. She never even talks about that. Instead, she's talking about her dreams and beekeepers and, you know, almost everything else. So,
and by the way, I'm not bashing Mormons in general. A lot of them are regular people, but if you know about intelligence and study politics, the Mormons have percentage the highest number in federal law enforcement and intelligence. So all you're saying is in Utah, that area, it's a zone where you could definitely, if you wanted to change the outcome of something, do it.
Exactly. And it's strange that it happened there because that is a zone of control where they would have a lot of influence, where they have like a mafia-like kind of stranglehold. And that was never brought up, which is interesting. And I think that it's very comparable to QAnon. This is like QAnon 2.0, where all these people have been whipped up and deputized, and it's basically just destroyed people's faith in anything. It's sort of interesting. After her meeting with Erica Kirk, she did her show yesterday, and all the top comments were saying, Candace got the call. Candace made a deal. We can't trust her. But I saw many of the comments also said, now I'm just done with politics. They're fatigued. They're literally fatigued. And they are so, they have been so wound up and twisted by this whole thing. Now that Candace is backing down and walking back all the claims, now they're saying, well, I'm just done with politics because I don't know what to believe. There's no one that's telling the truth. And so there you have it. There is the proof in and of itself. This has destroyed the confidence of the people in any kind of conspiracy theory, in any kind of alternative media. Because if you have alternative media gaslighting the people, oh, it's the French, it's beekeepers, it's a spiritual battle happening in my dreams when I go to sleep at night, and then you walk it back, then people say, well, you know what? Clearly this is just too complex or too corrupt. I'm just done with all of it.
When in reality, it really goes down to not signing UN treaties, not giving up sovereignty, deporting illegals, or H.R. 3492. And guys, check. It was supposed to be voted on like in the last 30 minutes to ban all transgender surgery, MTG, and the Republicans establishment, despite her, is trying to block it, which would be a major win for Trump. So anybody that doesn't vote for this must be on the Pritzker funding. But that's a real thing. This is real action. This is what we do 90% of the time. I get accused of being a conspiracy theorist because I'll give my opinion about what's behind something sometimes. The truth is this show, 95% of the time, is just legislation and what's happening in the world. This is real, folks. This is something we can do.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, we are people that are actually trying to change the country. And then you get these spectacles that come up. This is what this is a big giant spectacle. It is a black hole. It's like you say, it's a never ending serial, a never ending soap opera. And it's about basically science fiction. It's like a science fiction thriller. It's like a movie from the 70s. And it's actually doing damage to people that are trying to reform politics. And the problem is a lot of these people, they just don't read. They don't read. They don't care. Candace Owens read one book. She read that book, Chaos, by like Robert O'Neill or Tom O'Neill or something like that. She read that one book. She kind of knows something's up with Israel, and that's all she needed to know. And now she's whipped up into this thing where everything's connected to everything. It's Brigitte Macron and the beekeepers and people wearing maroon shirts.
Let's be clear. I mean, I saw her like a year ago go, I just learned about the USS Liberty.
Yes.
And then I had people saying, how dare you not cover it? I only wrote books and made films about it 20 years ago. You know, and I'm not in a competition with Candace. I like Candace. But it is actually true what you're saying. Isn't she emblematic, though, of people wake up, but you wake up and your fire alarm's going off. You don't know where the fire is at or if it's a false alarm. You wake up, you smell smoke, you still got to find it. I think they've all woken up, and so now they don't have any real context or depth. People go, well, you're 26. You've been doing this 10 years. Like I said, you were 12 into this stuff just like I was, so you've been doing it, you know, 20 years or whatever, or 18 years. So, and we're not trying to be elitist here. It's just that I know light years more than I knew 5 years ago. And the Alex Jones 5 years ago was pretty smart. And the Alex Jones that was 20 was more informed than the average woke, you know, patriot right now. So, but then the problem is I have all this knowledge and I give them complex answers because it's complex and they go, and that's what I talked about yesterday. And it got spun by the media that Jones attacks Fuentes and, Tucker. I didn't even say your name. So I was talking about people that said, I mean, literally had a post like a week ago, hey, Chernobyl's leaking. This is a problem. And like a third of the comments were, cover it up for the Jews, cover it up for the Jews. It's like, if an earthquake happens in LA, I'm going to talk about the earthquake. It's not about Jews. I'm all about criticizing Israel and Jews doing stuff. But that's a microcosm. It's not just those people. They've woken up. They've got informed about that, but that's their lane. And so to them, that's the only knowledge they have. Does that make sense?
100%. And I've seen this so many times because I operate more in this wacky space or whatever that does fixate on Jews, Israel, whatever. And it's like a red pill psychosis. It's like people can't handle it. They take one red pill and they say, oh, there's this sort of hidden truth. There's this esoteric truth. There's this hidden reality. But when they have no deep background, they have no general knowledge. They don't actually have a practical experience with this stuff. It goes off in all these different directions and people start to talk about, well, that means the earth is flat and that means that Trump is the shadow president and that means that the Khazar Mafia, that's really what it's all about. And they go down to all these different rabbit holes, all these different red herrings because you're right, without context, without that sort of grounding, and context is really key. You do need a ton of background information to understand how we got here. It's thousands of years of history, theology, philosophy, politics. You need to have some grasp on a lot of these subjects. You really need to be read wide and deep into these subjects to begin to contextualize it. And like you say, okay, we're doing a show about the Liberty. I just found out about it last year. Oh, and coincidentally, now everything is, literally everything is Israel. Charlie Kirk is Israel. The Bondi shooting's Israel. Browns is this, that, and the other. Now me, I'm going to say it's Israel, let's say 60% of the time. Now that's not good enough because the people that got red pilled 2 minutes ago, well, they know it's 110% of the time. And unfortunately, all that does is discredit the people that are actually doing the hard work, actually doing the research, actually reading the books, doing the hard work to figure these things out that are in touch with reality. I saw a lot of people say, well, it's the Jews every other time, so it's the Jews this time. That's like the gambler's fallacy. You know, like these are just basic logic problems that people are committing because they deliver Domino's pizzas for most of their life. Now they're a red pill savant or something. So
I'm totally
with you.
There was a taboo against criticizing Israel. It was used to take free speech around the world. Israel's been heavily involved in so much bad stuff. We cover it. And it's good that that taboo's gone. It's totally safe now to attack Israel all I want. But I only do it when I actually see something real. And again, it's the constant frustration of like Chinese water torture where I'm like, hey, you know, China is making a move here. Why are you covering up for the Jews? And it's like, no, there's other things going on. It doesn't take away from the Great Awakening to foreign influence, and all that's really healthy. But exactly, people cannot then become lunatics that only know one thing. And, you know, it's like when you said, let me see the evidence Israel killed Kirk. And they go, oh, you got money. It's, you got a $7,000 check. But it's also about like an elitism. Like, we're holier than thou. We're going to say actual intellectuals that are historically informed, because you know, you've debated on my show some of the best out there, and you've won those debates. I know this stuff as much as you do, or more in some cases, but I don't even say it as good as you do on the foreign policy. I mean, you're knocking it out of the park, but these guys, you just say, nope, Nick's not good either, and make themselves feel good like they just got on the field with Pat Brady or Michael Jordan in their prime and beat them. But they're literally just saying, I'm better than Michael Jordan. No, you're not. And it's not about your criticism of us. It's about you growing up and being men and not just sitting around and claiming you're good, everybody else is bad. We'll be right back. Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever.
VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Fortune tanto fortunerà, si dilatibus ocellis, fortu amici fortunerà, sutra di prebellis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Clear for everybody that seems to understand this. Here's the headline yesterday, and it got picked up all over national TV. I can't even keep track of it. I don't even really focus on that because I don't have time. I always wonder about the new news or legislation or geopolitical things. But what I said, not yesterday, but the day before, is all over the place with the headlines. Jones turns against Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes because of their Nazism, which is, again, not attacking them. They're not Nazis. It's lies within lies. And they show like a 2-minute clip of me talking about the people that said with no reservation that the attack over the weekend in Sydney against the Jews celebrating Hanukkah wasn't a Muslim attack and that it was, you know, Israeli Mossad. Now, is Israel staged false flags? Yeah, we've covered it et nauseum. The stand down October 7th was one. The Levon affair, USS Liberty, yeah. But no, you've got thousands of imams saying they're going into jihad now. This is the phase. They quote the Quran, how Muhammad took over Medina, and after that launched his attack. It's a formula. And so my issue is this. The politically correct groups you've seen, I can play montages that are hours long. Whites are inherently evil. Catholics are inherently evil. Christians are inherently evil. The family's evil. The nuclear family's evil. There's a lot of leftist Jewish groups funding it. So a lot of Americans and others get mad at that. It is healthy to criticize Israel. It should not be a sacred cow. It should not be a taboo. I just simply don't want to be somebody that lies about it and then uses it again as a black hole total diversion. So I've always said, how dare you have Nick Fuentes on back when I was being deplatformed, you know, over it. And other things is like, you can't criticize him when he's mild compared to what's taught in the universities about how the West needs to die and everybody needs to die. But then there's the issue. I can play you hundreds of new videos. We already did the last few days of in the U.S., in Europe, in Australia, kill the Jews, kill the Christians, murder them, them marching around the Melbourne Cathedral, thousands of Muslims, very threateningly, attacking Christian displays, truck attacks, all of it getting covered up, cops getting stabbed in Washington State by people screaming, Allah Akbar, doesn't even hit the national news. So Nick said a few weeks ago on my show, he said, yeah, I think Europe's got a big Muslim problem, which is true. There's three times more of them over there than here. But he said, in the U.S., it's really a red herring for Israel. Well, it's true that Israel lobby uses the threat of Islam to distract from itself. But that's like saying somebody burns down your house, you know, or burns down the business next door to a bank to divert the cops while they rob the bank. It doesn't mean that the restaurant didn't just get burned down. So it's two different things. So I'd like you to elaborate on that and actually give us your take on it. Because if you study the Quran, it's a military takeover manual. You have the Muslim Brotherhood that's allied with Obama and the Democrats and Starmer and the deep state in their larger plan. You got the UAE and Saudi Arabia who have all their own issues that have been warning about that group because that's their enemy. But if you look at terrorism historically, it's like 90% out of the Muslim Brotherhood. So my point is that, yeah, it's not existential yet here, except you have the same alliances with the left, with Islam. And so with that combination and them as the foot soldiers, so what if they're only 5% of the population or whatever? That as a motivated group that vote how they're told, donate how they're told, look at the Somalis, you know, 8 million stolen, we know now, is that it's cancer. So I'm not trying to dunk on you and say, you know, admit you're wrong. Elaborate on it. I get your point about it being used by Israel's distraction, but then I get all this criticism constantly every time I talk about Islam, saying, why are you covering up for Israel or whatever? And to me, I just cover any foreign powerful thing trying to take over. So whereas Israel has organization, money, control, manipulation, very sophisticated, with the Muslims, they've got a caveman book. But when humans are willing to follow an order, we're powerful. And so, I mean, I do see it as one of the main threats. So where do you see this? What's your actual views on this?
Well, my actual view on the whole situation is, of course, we want to live in a Christian country. We want to live in a country with Christian government and mostly Christian people. And I'm not in favor of bringing Muslims in as refugees from wars or even for that matter as immigrants and setting up these enclaves. I look at, for example, the Somalis in Minneapolis. I don't know that any patriotic person can say that that Minnesota, which is a land of like Swedes and Norwegians, Finnish, that this is going to turn into an enclave of Somalians wearing hijabs. And, you know, that's all the kids in the schools and all the signs are in Somalian. The mayor is speaking Somalian. I get all that. I guess I would just say, when is the last time there's even been a Muslim attack in the United States? It has to have been years. And in the meantime, we've had all kinds of other attacks from Antifa, people that hate ICE, from transgenders. There's an assortment of threats these days, and it's not to minimize it, but it's to say, you know, we live in a time of violent fanaticism. And when you look at the demographic numbers, I guess I would just say, what exactly is the threat? And people might say, well, it's obvious, it's terrorism. And okay, yeah, that's valid. I mean, there's certainly terrorism. But for example, this guy at Bondi Beach, that's in Australia, not America, firstly. But secondly, he was known to law enforcement. He was known to law enforcement specifically as someone who is connected to an ISIS terror cell. And so my question is more, this is frequently the case, these people that commit these acts of terrorism, even that Afghan that committed the shooting recently here in the CIA. United States, he was CIA, right, exactly, he was CIA. He worked with the U.S. military. So it's like all these people that are committing the attacks, they're all in bed with the government or known to the government. Maybe we just have the government do a better job of sniffing this stuff out. I mean, there's a lot of Muslims.
No, I respect what you just said. I don't think terror is the threat. They do that once they get a big enough control of a town to push you out. That's in the Quran. In his Medina takeover, he explains how to do it. That's why they read that and they do that. It's not just random stabbings and things. The imam tells them to do it. It's a mujahideen. The real threat is they now say, we failed taking over the Europe because we did it militarily. We're going to vote ourselves in. We're going to access the war chest to take over that way. So that's the problem, is if you get up to 5-10%, look at Europe, they're a swing vote that goes with the left almost 100% of the time. So I don't see the terror as the threat. I see them not being able to help themselves, some of the Orthodox Muslims that are doing it, as them not being able to help themselves and jumping the gun. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I agree with you about Europe because that's where they're mostly concentrated. But here in the United States, it's just such a small fraction of the population. I don't consider it in that pantheon of major threats. I view it as totally secondary because the major threat with immigration is India. India sending these like people by the hundreds of thousands here. And they are true colonists because they will take over an entire business. You get one Indian in the business, they hire all people from their caste. From India. And then in 5 years, the whole company's India.
I mean, I, on average, like Indian people, okay? Don't dislike them for who they are, but I know the history right. And I saw this number about a month ago. I did a deep dive on it for like 3 hours. It's worse than they said. I saw like a Breitbart video. I pulled the Breitbart animation of it. 70% of the H-1B visas to the U.S. are from India. And something like 85% are from one province who came here 50 years ago, bought hotels, bought gas stations, and it's a mafia where they have to send the money back, and then they're big on paying off politicians. And it's true, folks, any Indian business, they do the bankruptcy thing, they're because they'll work the system. You know, you go to the airport now, there are like 20 Indians that are young in wheelchairs. They're like, well, why shouldn't I go to the front of the line and be pushed? If it's legal, I just say I'm disabled. And I'm not, it's stereotypical, but it is happening. But it's that particular tribe, particular caste, is the vast majority of Indians coming here, and they're literally... Yeah, let's play this report with audio in a minute. They literally grease the skids. So you're absolutely right. that these are tribal groups. Like, we think the Somalis are an issue because they're tribal and do what they're told and controlled. We're all taught, like, Italians, which is really Sicilians, were a mafia. This is amateur compared to the Indians. So you're dead on about this. Let's roll this short clip.
We know from decades of government data that H-1Bs overwhelmingly go to men arriving from India. And not only do they go from men arriving from India, they come from one area in India, one small area in India. So this one, if you believe that the H-1B is bringing in the best and brightest from around the world, how is it even possible that this one region in India is producing 7 in 10 of the world's geniuses that we're bringing in on the H-1Bs?
And it gets worse than that. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to back up what you're saying. Yeah, India.
Yeah, so in terms of immigration and like a demographic takeover, it's Indians, it's Chinese, it's Mexicans, it's Venezuelans. To me, just in terms of the numbers, those are the biggest ones coming here. And then in terms of political influence, I mean, you're right that Muslims are in bed. Some of these Muslim organizations are in bed with the Democrats. But again, I fall back on who are the biggest donors for the Democratic Party. It's like Michael Bloomberg. It's Reid Hoffman. It's like it's all pro.
That's another question. Why are prominent Jews the dominant group, along with Catholic Charities, shipping in illegals to the West?
Well, I think that Jewish people, they benefit as a group the more multicultural that America becomes. It's a very simple formula, which is that if America's all white and all Christian, Jews stick out like a sore thumb, and it's easy to segregate them and easy to discriminate against them. If America's completely diverse and there's all different types of people and we're liberal and tolerant and pluralistic, well, then they're just a group among other groups. So this is just a strategy. Because, of course, in Israel, they want homogeneity. They want the country to be all Jewish. They want Netanyahu to be their king. You know, they are aggressive militarily. That's how they are when they're the majority. When they're in the minority, they want America to be as liberal and tolerant and pluralistic as possible. So that's why 80% of them are voting Democrat. That's why their billionaires are putting money behind the Democratic Party. And so that's why I would say that it's really these other groups that are the bigger issue. And don't get me wrong. I don't want Muslims influencing the country. I don't want Muslims pouring across the border. But in terms of if your problem is foreign lobbying, Democrat power players, clannish behavior, ethnic enclaves, you got all these other groups you got to worry about that just in terms of the numbers are more pernicious. And that's not because I'm like infatuated with Muslims. If we were living in Europe, I would be Tommy Robinson. If we were in Europe, I would be saying, yeah, Muslims, they're doing their call to prayer. This is a huge issue. They got to go. But we don't live in Europe. We live here. So I think we just have different problems because America is separated by an ocean from the Middle East in a way that Europe is not. So they pour into Europe over a land bridge and over a very small, strait in the sea. And we're in Europe. Yeah, go ahead.
So let me ask you this question. You seem overly or somewhat optimistic. I'm going to say overly, and I'm optimistic as well. Separate from Trump, populism rising, the West rising, Eastern Europe rising. What futures do you see? Or sometimes I see you seem optimistic, sometimes you're not. Regardless, where do you see the future going?
Well, I'm not optimistic in the short term because I think there is a cataclysm that's imminent. War with China, economic collapse, this debt crisis is going to reset the currency. But I'm optimistic because the young men seem to have woken up. And some people call me an accelerationist for saying this. I really think I'm just someone who thinks in terms of second and third order consequences. Even let's say for Europe as an example. One reason that I'm less worried about Muslims is that let's game it out. Okay, Muslims take over Europe. Eventually that radicalizes all the white people, even the liberals. Because liberals are going to start to say, well, we want feminism and we want gay rights and we want to have a general climate of licentiousness. And is Muslim rule is not going to be conducive to that. So on a long enough timeline, you create enough Muslims in Europe And yeah, there is like civil war conditions, but that makes the Europeans become who they are. And I'm not saying we should do that. I'm not saying let's roll the dice. I'm saying you can kind of forecast out how that will play out. And you can see how Muslims being a very imminent and apparent threat is actually going to galvanize resistance. And I view America similarly, which is to say that as America becomes more diverse, as it starts to fall apart, the young men are going to actually be galvanized by these things. That's why I've always said America first is inevitable, because if what we are saying is true, the country's going to get a lot worse. But people are going to change their behavior. People are not potted plants. They react. And so as the country gets worse, the cost to benefit ratio of engaging in politics, of being a radical, being, let's say, pro-white, pro-American, pro-Christian, it's going to change. 20 years ago, you didn't want to be a racist because it was such a high social cost. And people said, well, why do we care about race? And it was easy to say that because race wasn't really a problem. We lived in a country that was still mostly white and the diversity had not set in yet and the demographic change was not felt. And so people said, hey, man, this is like a big, happy white country with some non-white people. Who cares if they cause some problems or they're a little rude? It's not a big deal. Okay, 30 years down the line, 40, 50 years down the line, whites are the minority. Stacey Abrams is president. She's taking money from white people to give to non-white people. Like, we're at the end of a gun. We're at the end of a spear. Then people are going to start to say, wait a second. We need to look out for each other. We need to band together. So you can sort of see how the only way out is through. So I'm pessimistic in the short term. These systems and these the ways of doing things that have been the way they are for a long time, they can't go on. It's not sustainable. There will be a hard reset. There will be a true revolution in every domain of society. On the other side of that, there is an opportunity to make things better. It's not inevitable that we actualize it, but there is an opportunity that when everything comes apart, when things get really heated and hot, if the right wing has the numbers and the organization and the discipline, we can take advantage of it, and maybe we can then control the future.
Well, what you're saying is true. I mean, after World War II, we had the baby boom. It happens in every country. When things are really good, nobody has children. Elon Musk talked about Rome was studied in Carthage. Their birth numbers were declining massively. Then they had this big war and almost get defeated, and they had this big giant boom, and then 300 years of a golden era. And this is a fact. So we're not calling for hard times, but we're in hard times. We have to bypass the brainwashing where they put you in a hard time and convince you it's a good time. We have to admit we're in this fight and start thriving now. Here's a clip of Elon.
What ended most civilizations was a low birth rate. An extended period of prosperity seems to cause birth rates to plummet. It's somewhat counterintuitive. When a society is under stress, birth rates increase. So if you look at, say, ancient Rome, the birth rates were super high when they were fighting the Carthaginians, and Rome's very life was at stake. Birth rates were all-time high. After they defeated Carthage and ruled the Mediterranean, the birth rates plummeted, and to such a degree that Julius Caesar even tried to pass laws like in 50 BC or something like that to give an incentive for any Roman citizen that would have a second or third child. So they were having birth rate issues in 50 BC, which is pretty wild. And that was also true of really basically every civilization throughout history. So it's how do you avoid this birth rate collapse?
And I've seen the studies. There's like five or six trees. One of them's out in California. Different species around the world that are in arid areas where they're up high. They're not getting hardly any nutrients. But because it's so bad, the trees are like 2,000 years old. But they've done studies with the same species of tree. Plenty of water, plenty of nutrient, grows fast, gets big, dies quick. So it really is true that we have to recognize we're in crisis. And I'll put you on the spot. You're 26. You're still super young. But I had, a couple kids by 26. Nick, you're under crisis. You're under pressure. You need to marry Cash Patel's girlfriend. I'm joking. You need to marry Laura Logan. No, not Laura Logan.
I don't want to talk about her. I don't want to get
Loomer.
Sued.
I'm sorry, Laura Logan's awesome, and so is Laura Loomer. You should marry Laura Loomer.
Well, she just got engaged. Did you see?
No.
It was just announced today. She got engaged. Alex, they're taking them from me. First Candace Owens, now Laura Loomer. There's none left. There's no women left for me. All my girlfriends are being stolen by the Trump admin, by Turning Point.
Seriously,
you got to fix me up.
Laura,
you got to fix me up
married?
With somebody. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Well, who's she marrying?
I don't know. Some idiot, I'm sure. I mean, I don't even know what that's all about. But yeah, there was maybe a future where me and Laura Loomer had some kids, moved to Israel, you know, converted and all that. I'd be at the Hanukkah party at the White House. But yeah, no, she, I guess she had another guy waiting in the wings for her because I didn't step up. You know, I didn't give her the ring.
Well, I'm going to be honest and go ahead and break this news here right now. Laura Loomer is my daughter. I'm not
wow,
joking.
I could have married into the family.
Well, Nick, let's be serious. Did you know I'm actually the son of Benjamin Netanyahu?
I can see the resemblance.
Now, the funny thing is they're going to take that clip out and say it's real. I've joked before. All right, we're almost out of time. There's so many other big issues. I could talk to you all day. Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. What is it like? Because, I mean, you know, it's not hype that your show's gigantic. Well, the top one's out there. You're 26. And all this stuff's going on, and the establishment's done, whatever establishment it was, this is definitely, people are not politically correct now, it's only going to get crazier from here. What is it like to be the center of that zeitgeist?
Well, I feel the weight of the moment. For a long time, I was doing this, and it was just fun. It was a lot of fun, and didn't have a lot of responsibility. I was just saying what I felt. And now that it's really coming down to 28 and there's questions about where the country's going to go and maybe I have a real impact on that, real influence, I sort of feel the weight of the responsibility now, the risks, the danger. People are looking to me for guidance. So I take it seriously. But it feels good because it shows that things can change. A big part of what was...
It shows the people have power. Everybody thinks they're powerless. You're a regular guy. Your pedigree's clear. Look how big effect you've had.
Yeah, and I love what you say, because sometimes we talk about this and you say that the real trick that the devil pulls is to convince people that there's no good in the world, that nothing can change, give up, it's hopeless, no one is doing the right thing. And I've lived it, you know, I've lived it. I was just some 18-year-old college kid, and I got canceled, I was left for dead, and my career should have been dead. But I just persevered, I just kept doing what I do, I kept just telling the truth. And eventually, I think through a lot of luck and hard work and people like you and others being supportive along the way, it turned into something that is now having an impact. And there's a million people out there that are like you and like me. They want what's best for the country. They have talents. They have ability. They have character. And I'm just calling on those people to just take that first step. Make the right decision. Start today. Tell the truth. Do something for the country. Be a patriot. We actually can change our destiny. Ultimately, it's in God's hands, but we can be used by God to do the right thing. And I think that, you know, hopefully that's an inspiration. If somebody like me could do it, other people can do it also, because I started with very little and I have a lot of defects and flaws, as we all do. But it just starts with, are you going to be a part of the solution or are you going to be a part of the problem?
Well, so, what the power structure hates is if they can censor us, they can twist what we said, take it out of context. They hate people actually hearing what we actually say versus what they claim we said out of context. But people should check out your show. Are you going to do a live stream tonight?
Yes, I think I will do a show tonight.
What, like after Trump's speech?
Yes, yeah, probably. So I know you're going live. You'll cover that, and then I'll go live after that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to at least be on with Bannon. I may do a simulcast like 7:30 tonight and through it. So we'll be watching. Nick, you're hard to get a hold of on the phone. He'll tell you some other stuff, so I'm going to try to, when I'm off in like a minute. I'm going to call you about 5 minutes real quick, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks, Nick. Great interview. Thank you.
All right.
All right, very thought-provoking. Let me say this. Harrison Smith's taking over. War Room, done a great job. I'm completely maxed out. I'm just going to keep winning. I trust in God that worked through you. Yeah, God does it all, but he works through us. I need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get your orders in by Friday. You'll get it before Christmas. The Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the best-selling supplements are 60% off the final days of Christmas sale. Incredible T-shirts, incredible everything, you know, ball caps, huge selection. That's what funds this operation. You do. And then we just sit here and talk about the facts and you know, have different ideas, different opinions. It's what it's all about. But the system doesn't want this show on the air. You're the reason we stay on the air. Please do your Christmas shopping with us, and I thank you and salute those that have, and ask those that haven't, what are you thinking? These products are amazing. Take the challenge. Get our methylene blue, and you'll be addicted. It's incredible. TheAlexShowStore.com. Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexShowStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to TheAlexShowStore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at TheAlexShowStore.com for 50% off.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.